Good evening. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. This is Wednesday, October 19, 2011. It's about 7:45. I'm Amy Sangiello, the chair of the committee. We're joined by Carlton Merrill from Ward 1, John Rice from Ward 5, Dick Blazer from Ward 6, Steve Linsky from Ward 2 and vice chair of the committee, and our clerk, Rebecca Smith. The first item on our agenda is the appointment by His Honor the Mayor, item number 276-11, Kieran Malunsky of 18 Indian Ridge Road, Newton Center, appointed to the Advisory Council of Health and Human Services for a term of office to expire December 1st, 2014. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what we usually do is have the appointees introduce themselves, tell us why you'd like to serve on the committee, and receive any questions from the committee members.
Okay. I'm Kieran Malunsky. I am a psychotherapist in practice in Newton Center. I was asked if I had interest in serving on the Advisory Council for Public Health and Human Services. And I replied that I was very, very interested, as I have a long-standing interest in both public health, in general health and mental health. It's dated back really actually to my years in high school, where I had worked with children with severe disabilities, at which time I decided that a career in such areas was really where I was headed. And initially thought I would go into medicine. When I decided not to go into medicine, I continued to pursue my interests, both in government and in mental health, both at Harvard and then at BU, and got my degree in social work. And through all of that, really found that my particular perspective in social work in particular lends itself to my interest in serving on such a committee, because I take up very much what I consider to be a strengths-based perspective, so that I can look at areas where people, when there are problems in an area, I can really look at how, although problems are arising, I can look and see how people are really still capable of doing well and succeeding incredibly. My training in the mental health area serves me particularly well in being able to listen and work well with others, and so committee work particularly interests me. And so at this time, given that there was an opening on a committee that really interested me and my interest in serving my community, where I've lived for quite some time, although I think in my letter to the mayor there was a typo and it said that I've been living here since 2011 and I've been living here since 2001, I saw it as an opportunity to really serve my community at this time.
Wonderful. Committee members. We're also been joined by Alderman Mitch Fishman from Ward 8 and Alderman Ted Esplanian from Ward 3.
Hi, how are you?
Alderman Linsky.
Karen, I just wanted to, now that you've explained a little bit about your interests and background,
mm-hmm.
without knowing much more, perhaps I should, I would think that this is a little bit about what you said, interest in public health. The way you described was as if individual client type of thing. But mm-hmm. I'm assuming that we're talking about
broader things.
Much broader things.
Obviously.
And so help me understand a little bit.
How that would work.
For you.
Well, I think, obviously, since I've been living in Newton all of this time, I also am a mother with children in all of these school systems, and I've also been able to see how the communities have been operating. At this point, my interest has become an area where the intersection between what I observe in the school systems and in the broader range of the places in which I've worked at various times, I see the way in which the systems are operating, both in the hospitals, in the community in general. I've gotten to see a lot of school system situations because I work with children, adolescents, adults in my private practice, and also with children in the systems. So I can take a systems approach and understand that and see how that applies in a broader way.
I still need to get that translated.
Okay.
You have observed, I understand,
yes.
You, both professionally and mm-hmm. then I'm assuming kids in the school system,
yeah.
et cetera, so you've observed.
Sure.
So how So where would you, what would your work, yeah, what would your work do that would have any impact
in
broader
our
things
community.
That you, right, in the community?
I think that being able to offer a piece of missing mental health and social work to such a committee has value.
Okay.
I think one of the problems is, and I've been serving on the board for 14 years. It's not about your qualifications for this. I've never heard of the Advisory Council of Health and Human Services. I know that when I was on the board, I created an Environmental Health Advisory Council, which apparently no one ever bothered to staff. But I'm not familiar with this, and I don't know if other members...
My understanding of the Advisory Council is that different health and public health issues, an agenda is created for this Advisory Council. At that point, the questions come into the council. They're presented preliminarily and put out to the council. And at that point, people on the advisory are asked questions regarding health and mental health, public health issues. And the council then comes together four times a year and is asked collaboratively to think about these problems and issues that are asked and taking place in a broader range, and to think together as a commission about how to solve these problems.
Okay.
And in that way, I think I can lend a particular...
As a mental health professional.
As a mental health professional with a social work background, that there currently is no social worker sitting on this advisory council, and that I offer a particular perspective that currently is not being served on the commission.
I'm glad the chair asked that, because I, as I said, I'm a
little bit
either.
I didn't realize that you actually don't
and
know
I didn't
what
we're know, and
about
I didn't know, for instance, it was,
that helps a lot
it was four
clarify.
Times a year and consulted in that sense.
It's,
so that
it's
helps
a consulting advice. It is an advisory
council. Yeah. Okay.
That helps. But I guess I said I was good at communication, but I didn't know that you guys here tonight didn't actually know what we're talking about.
You assume we actually, know what we're talking
There's
about.
No way for you to know.
No, well, I just came. I thought you were asking questions about things that... being as I've never sat on this advisory council.
So I guess one of the things that I would suggest is that maybe now that you know that a lot of, at least the members of this committee and probably a lot of people on the board are not familiar with the advisory council, if you could take that back
to the advisory council?
To let them know that, and also
the board doesn't know what the advisory council does.
And also to the health commissioner, because, like I said, 14 years I've been on the board and on this committee, we've never had an appointee that I know of for the advisory council. I have no idea who else is on it. So that would be great if you could take that.
So there are several physicians. There's some physicians. It's run by the board. The head of the board is a doctor, Dori Zelnick.
Zelesnik.
Uh-huh. And there are several nurses who sit on the council. And I don't know who else. And there is an attorney who advises. And that's all I know.
Okay. That's more than we can say. That's great. Alderman Rice.
Motion to approve the nomination, but also a question that at one point, a lot of the social work for the middle schools and high schools were done by social workers in the city of Newton, but that was back before budget cuts, and now it's been outsourced for a number of years to Riverside Mental Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And what I've heard from the guidance counselors at the high schools and middle schools is they do a very, very good job. But if as on the advisory council, if you can just look in, because I know with how they renew the contracts, it's sort of like the Riverside always gets renewed because they're already in place and doing everything else. But just evaluating the process of, because we're outsourcing all the social work,
mm-hmm.
About how that's going with the schools.
I think that would be incredibly, I think that would be incredibly useful to look at. B, I think that there are also other places that offer such outsourcing, such as the Boston Institute for Psychotherapy offers school-based counseling where they have counselors also willing and able to come into the schools where you're not actually paying for their counseling services at all. So that would be something that would be cheaper for Newton to do where you can, they might have to pay some portion if children are not supported by insurance, although MassHealth should be covering all of our children. At this point, it is mandated that all that everyone have insurance. So all of our children should be insured. Those that aren't, there's free care, but they can actually bill for each session directly with parents because
and I believe the way Riverside has it set up is a direct bill, but there is also a line item in the Health and Human Services budget for Riverside, for one lump sum for services as well.
Yeah. So this is yet another place that could very easily come in, see children as needed. It could also be provided at the grammar school level, and we could be providing good mental health services, even in groups at the lower level.
So I'm glad you're on the advisory council.
Even if we knew nothing about it, we're thrilled that you're
there. I asked former Alderman Parker to stay because I wanted to tap his historical knowledge. Uh-oh. Are you familiar with the Advisory Council on Health and Human Services?
Right. Well, it used to be the Health Advisory Council. Newton has a very strong health commissioner position, so the health commissioner gets to make all the decisions. Unlike some communities have a health board of health, which we don't have, and so I don't know what your question is. I'm just rambling.
Okay. Do you remember an advisory council?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it's always been used to be the advisory council on the health department, and David Naparstek would come in, and he would, you remember a couple times, he had appointees, and he would be like, oh, this person's great, and it's been around.
Okay.
It just got changed when we changed. We merged health and human services and human services into health when the merger took place. They used to meet in the old building in Newton Center when we had, the old health department building.
There you go.
Okay. Terrific.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So there's a motion to approve. All those in favor?
As a licensed social worker, I say yes.
It's unanimous. So all we'll have, and we'll report it, our vote to the full board, and the full board will take this up at their next meeting.
Now that we know what the position actually is.
Thank you.
I'll see you next month, whenever that is, and find out what it really means. Thank you very much. So we're all done with me. Okay, thank you very much, Rebecca, for getting me to the right room.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a good night.
So we now kind of reconvene.
They're ready whenever. Right. Yep. So we can.
You want to tell me when I'm scheduled?
Well, I just wanted to help Ken a little bit.
Yeah.
So we've got. We don't. Do you have a take on
how long that take? That could take a while, but I was told by the administration that they probably anticipate a motion to hold the item, because there are issues that need to still be worked out. And then the next item, is going to be held because apparently, even though we had specifically arranged this date to meet with Claire and Rini or some other school committee representative, they had something else to do and didn't bother to tell us until the last minute. So that will be held. So then we can take your item up.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't sound too long, the way you just said it. Sure. No need to go home and back in that case. So.
You can go over to public safety. They're taking up, Adeline.
I could wander around and just say hi to people, I guess, or bother Adeline, whatever. But,
I couldn't figure out that email.
So we're on now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're reconvening the meeting, so I want to take up item number 205-11. Alderman Sangiolo, Gentile, Harney, and Linsky requesting a discussion with the school committee regarding a proposal to enter into a contractual relationship with the Newton Schools Foundation to sell naming rights on behalf of the Newton Public Schools. As I mentioned earlier, the school committee members could not attend tonight. There's another event happening, and the Newton Schools Foundation person was scheduled to come in, but we asked them not to since the school committee wasn't here, and because we've heard that they're going to do another presentation to the school committee, so we'll probably take this up in November or December.
Okay.
Can I have a motion to hold?
So moved.
All those in favor? That's one. Fishman, Merrill, Rice, Slazer, and Hessmahan and Sangiolo. Thank you. The next item is item number 52-07, Alderman Parker, Sangiolo, Mansfield, Harney, Danberg, Vance, Linsky, Hessmahan, Berg, Albright, and Johnson, requesting an ordinance amendment to create a health care advisory committee whose function would be to recommend measures to control the rate of increase of health insurance costs as recommended by the Newton Finance and Management Working Group in 2005 and the Blue Ribbon Commission on the Municipal Budget in 2007. And we are joined by former Alderman Parker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to lead the discussion?
Okay. Well, I'll just, first of all, thanks for inviting me, and thanks for the interest of the committee members in pursuing this oldie but hopefully goodie. There was some drafting work done, and I believe Alderman Baker was involved at one point, and Alderman Blazer, and things got emailed around. I don't want to slight anyone else who participated. Yeah, of course, Steve. I took the latest draft, and I'm in total violation of the 48-hour rule.
Which we don't adhere to anymore.
It never has been. So I did. It's really short, though. But I did a redraft based on some of the concerns and comments that people had. For one thing, the one-year term seemed a little short to have people appointed for 1 year by the time you get through the process and whatnot. I did 3-year staggered terms. That way, you have institutional memory. Not everybody's up at the same time. You know, you don't have like everyone. So I changed that in this draft. And the other thing that we talked about before that I think was not correctly reflected in the last draft was that it was going to be an independent committee. It wasn't going to include elected officials or city officials. And so I changed that to say that the composition, I didn't change the appointment process, 5 appointed by the mayor with the approval of the Board of Aldermen, 5 appointed by the Board of Aldermen, but just removed the, there was going to be one seat that was going to be a executive branch seat, it was going to be a current union negotiator. The idea would be to have this be not people who are privy to or participants in current collective bargaining negotiations. There was actually some discussion at the last meeting that could get really awkward if people, because there are, once you have that information, there's all kinds of legal ramifications. The idea here would be people would be looking at the policy, exploring what's going on in other communities, what the and at the legal issues in terms of what the obligations of cities and towns are under Mass General Law, but they wouldn't be looking specifically at the issues that are subject to collective bargaining at any point in time. So just to flag just a couple other changes in this draft.
This is just Marie's response to Steve's draft.
Okay. I'll read it in a second. The other changes to flag here, I put in a line, sometimes when we create these things, we put like there'll be a seat from Ward 1, there'll be seats from, for example, the Community Preservation Committee, Ted will remember this, you were involved in drafting that. We were very specific, and there's going to be a member who's an open space person, we want this kind of expertise, we were very particular about what we wanted. I think here that we can be a little more aspirational about what kind of skills we want, but without being as particular. So I put in a sentence here. The appointing authority shall endeavor to select members based solely on their expertise in the fields of healthcare, finance, insurance, and related disciplines and their willingness to serve. In particular, the committee should include at least one actuary and at least one medical professional. So in other words, try to find people with the relevant skills, but it won't be like there'll be an actuary seat, there'll be a doctor seat, there'll be a whatever other kind of seat on it, and no ex officio anything. Other than that, it's pretty much the draft. The purpose and scope, I fixed the parallel construction. The rest of it's mostly grammar, what I changed. So let me just think if there's anything else substantive. Made it consistently refer to employees and retirees, and the rest of it was just stylistic changes, basically just putting section heads in and everything else. So let me read what Marie has to say about this. Let's see.
She doesn't believe that it should be part of the ordinance. She's thinking it's more appropriately an ad hoc committee to be established by the board for advisory purposes.
Okay, well, it's up to the board whether it's an advisory ad hoc committee or a standing committee.
Right.
If the board passes an ordinance, I guess it becomes a standing, just like the healthcare advisory committee or anything else. That's a policy choice, not a legal choice,
right.
Really.
I think when Steve must have forwarded her your draft, I guess these were the only comments that she had.
She hasn't seen this draft, by the way.
She hasn't seen this draft.
This draft was written at about 7:25.
Oh.
I literally, it hasn't. This draft has not been vetted with a lot of our, my suggestion would be if, to get a sense of where the committee is on it, and you can certainly, if you want to, pass it or something else subject to review by the law department. Or if you, you know, want to go in a different direction, whatever. But I don't, it's short enough that it certainly you can make it subject to second call. There's nothing earth-shaking here in terms of structure. There's not, frankly, there are no legal issues here. It's just really an issue of whether you want the thing and who you want to have on it and how long you want them to serve for. It's just, you know, it's pretty much all there is to it. So I'm happy to answer any questions of people.
Any questions by committee members?
I would recommend that we on 5707, no action necessary based on the ruling that we have from the law department, and see what can be done to establish an ad hoc committee without having to go through the civil process.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Alderman Tasmanian.
Well, I was thinking actually more along the lines of holding this and creating a parens item to create the ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we don't have to hold it, but, I mean, if we do create an ad hoc committee and we decide that we want it to be a standing committee, I suppose if we have an item to come back to, we just create the ordinance then, but we could also redocket it. I don't really care how we do it. I'd like to get it started sooner rather than later, but of course, former Alderman Parker, you know, I'd defer you the one that came up with the idea, so.
Well, again, it wasn't me per se, it was two different commissions.
There's a lot of different people.
And there were a very impressive list of co-docketers, which you may have been one, I can't remember.
Yeah, no, I was. It was just, so, I'm agnostic about how we get it going.
I tend to think that passing an ordinance is going to make something actually happen. Because, you know, you need an annual report, so then you kind of...
That's the purpose for holding the item, is so that they'd have to come back and report.
I would suggest that if you want it to happen, if you want it to happen, pass an ordinance, because otherwise you create another parens, gets doggy, it just kind of drags things on. I mean, if you're going to serve, people are volunteering their time. I think serving on a standing committee might be a little bit more prestige value than serving on something that just got ad hoc appointed. So it's got a little more gravitas to it. I mean, it shows that the board takes it seriously and that the board thinks it's important. And by the way, I mean, I'm sure every one of you can think of people like this in your wards and that you know. There are people who are in the healthcare industry who have really good ideas and a lot of knowledge on this. And a willingness to serve, at least last time I talked to them. I'm sure just around this table talking about who's out there, we could come up with 10 really qualified people pretty quickly. And so I would rather see, action forced on this by an ordinance on the books, because I've been around this building long enough to know anything short of that, nothing will probably happen.
Alderman Fishman and then Alderman Blazer.
So, you know, maybe I'm ignorant. What's the difference between an ad hoc and a full advisory committee?
An ad hoc committee is like the one I got appointed to that never met, advising there was a financial audit subcommittee of the finance committee. And there was they were going to continue that with, you know, maybe a former Alderman Colletti and I and other people, and so that was going to happen. So ad hoc means doesn't meet, doesn't exist.
Well, it's not supposed to.
I'd ask Deb Crossley about the zoning reform group.
Yeah. Well, let me take that back. If there's a specific mission, an ad hoc committee is, if you've got a specific problem to solve, then an ad hoc or a task force is great for it. Newton North Task Force, something like that, a one-time, you know. Well, they did come up with a report, whether or not you agree with it. But the point is, Needham Street, that's a great thing for an ad hoc committee. But when you've got an ongoing issue that's not going away, that's a standing committee, not an ad hoc committee issue. So, Marie is a fantastic lawyer. She's a great person. I disagree with her policy recommendation, because it's not a legal recommendation. It's a policy recommendation that it be ad hoc as opposed to standing.
Just to follow up on that, Ken, a couple things. One is, she says it's not appropriate for the ordinances, so I don't know where that comes from.
Well, that's a conclusory assertion. I don't see any
Well, it's like support for it.
You can tell he's got a law school.
It's based on her reading of the committee's purpose from reviewing the draft.
Okay, well, maybe if she reviews the new draft, she won't have that opinion. Mm-hmm. Also, if I talk to her. Okay.
Well, moving on quickly as fast as I can. I mean, it's important to me to get this thing going. We've been kicking this around for about 6 months right now, just to get the language in to get the committee going. I don't really have any strong feelings one way or the other, whether it's done by an ordinance or by an ad hoc advisory committee. I think it needs to, I understand what Ken's saying about the fact that it makes more sense to have an ordinance because it's going to be a standing committee, because it's going to keep looking at the problem. I'm a little concerned about some of the details in here when, for instance, a person who's receiving health benefits from the city shall not be eligible for membership. There may be people we want on there who may be working for the city who are very, very good. So,
Then delete that line.
But it's a labor issue.
It's a
collective bargaining. Yeah. You really don't want to have somebody who's in a collective bargaining unit that might be affected by this.
Well, I was thinking more of somebody who might be working for the city, but whose husband or wife is an expert and a professional in this field. And maybe they're not even getting their
insurance. Then get that person.
So you get that person, right.
Yeah.
Why don't you get the...
Oh, okay.
I don't think it eliminates spouses, does it?
Yeah.
It's just a person receiving health benefits from the city.
Well, you can.
You can reward
some of it.
Yeah.
But no, I think the important thing is just to get this moving. And yeah. I'm not a...
The idea was to avoid the conflict of interest situation where someone was...
Right.
And the conflict of interest laws have actually changed since 2007 when this was first docketed.
Well, Steve and I talked about, he wanted somebody from the union on, somebody from the
right. Well, that was the earlier draft.
Yeah, and I wasn't particularly in love with that either. On the staggered terms, just a question in general, if you appoint staggered terms 1, 2, and 3 years, mm-hmm. can the people who are appointed for just 1 year, can they be reappointed?
To a three-year term at that
later
point.
On? Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Okay.
That's just so that they don't expire.
At all the same time. Okay, that's fine. And the number, again, Steve and I went over this a number of times about how many people he wanted. He wanted 12 at one point, then he went down to 8, so I picked 10. I don't think
brilliant.
It's critical. Yeah, it took a lot of thought.
Done really scientifically.
So I don't, whatever gets this thing moving is what I want.
Yeah,
that's what I, and maybe Ted and Ken have...
Well, the reason why I said persons receiving health benefits, I'm saying retirees too, but you could just delete that line. You could just say, no current City of Newton employee, including elected officials, shall serve as a member. And that way, you could let retirees serve, and you could let spouses of current employees serve. I don't know. I mean, Ted would know better than I do.
We just went through this issue with volunteer commissions. There's a new set of... there is a new set of conflict of interest laws, which are just complicated, but I think all that's required is a disclosure statement. But I know the law department has had to look at this several times now in order to get a city employee onto a committee, a volunteer commission. So I know that they've done all the spade work on it, and I forced them to do some spade work on it for an appointment I'm hoping to get. So.
Okay. Alderman Fishman?
Now that we heard the explanation of the two types and the three-year term, I'm beginning to think that maybe an ad hoc is the best way. Because maybe somebody doesn't want to sit on a three term. I mean, it's kind of a big commitment, and you try an ad hoc and you see how it works. We have appointments, and doesn't scare people off who perhaps have that experience. A lot of these people, I think, probably would be high-powered, working in healthcare. And certainly Deb's committee, the task force, has done a good job. And, I think it's better to have something that people get fired up and want to do than to have something that sort of, you're on this for 3 years. Well, what am I going to do for 3 years? You're going to be there available? It's a pretty big commitment.
Well, there would be 1, 2, and 3 year seats initially. So someone who didn't want to make the commitment could get appointed to a 1 year seat.
It seems too complicated when we're just starting off. So maybe, I agree with Marie's comments are a little bit mystical, it's hard to know exactly. So in a way, to be on the safe side, maybe we should do the ad hoc.
Okay. Alderman Hess Mahan.
I was just going to say, I mean, I was just thinking about the Fair Housing Commission or committee, which used to be the Fair Housing Task Force, and we started off as an ad hoc committee, and eventually, you know, once it established its purpose and said that the next step, and it may well be that the ad hoc committee recommends that we pass an ordinance to make it a permanent standing committee, and that could be part of their business. I just don't want to NAN it tonight, and but I don't know that we have the support to do an ordinance, but I'd like to giddy up and get going, because I really don't want to let this lie.
Okay, so I'll chime in. I prefer the ordinance, but I just want to warn people that even when you create an ordinance, it doesn't mean that it will follow through in terms of the executive department. What I found out, Ken, was that the Environmental Health Care Commission that we had established, apparently the health commissioner had decided that he didn't need it. And even though we created
it
by ordinance, they never appointed, and it just sort of dissipated, and it's still on our books.
Well, there's a new health commissioner now, so maybe a new one.
I suspect she probably would feel the same way and not want it. But I think that health care is a big issue. It's an issue that all communities are wrestling with. I think it's an important issue, and I think having a standing committee makes a lot of sense. We can have a further discussion with the law department if need be.
Can we do that then? Yeah, because I just don't feel like.
But I'd like to vote this out tonight. I am glad, even though this was a last-minute draft, I think you did a very good job. So I'd be happy to entertain a motion to approve this, or I can move it. Alderman Hess Mahan.
I mean, you mentioned Marie's comments are a little cryptic. Maybe if we could get her in here to explain it. I know you want to get it done. But
well, I think you wanted to get it done, too. So
I want to get it done, but I'm willing to do it as a ad hoc if that's what it takes to get it done right away. I'm just worried that if this goes out to the floor of the board, subject to second call, it doesn't pass because people, you know, for whatever. I won't vote against your motion. I don't want it to go down to defeat because it's something that the law department is not going to support and is not going to get staffed anyway.
There were some issues with the previous purpose section that may have been addressed. So maybe just if you make it subject to second call or
reconsideration. Yeah, do subject to second call with an explanation from Marie what she meant, because I don't want to vote for this and then have it turn out that there's a legitimate reason why we really can't do that.
Okay, I think that's fine. So I'll entertain that as a friendly amendment to my motion. Alderman Linsky, I moved approval of Ken's draft, latest draft, which is different from your draft.
Yeah.
I did read Marie's comments into the, or actually Ken and I both read the Marie's comments into the record. There seems to be some sentiment around the table that they would definitely like to move this along, but maybe creating it as an ad hoc committee would make more sense than creating it as an ordinance. I'm in favor of making it an ordinance. I think healthcare is a critical issue for municipalities throughout the Commonwealth, so that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to miss the beginning part of the discussion because I had decided something. But we wanted to get a draft back before the committee because we had spent X number of months, okay, from conception to wanting to get something, you know, some draft that we could actually kind of work on. We did have an initial draft that Alderman Blazer had put together. There were comments, quote, recently received from Marie. Ken, you also saw comments from George, right? And you saw.
I incorporated George. George suggested the longer term. Yeah. He didn't think 1 year was.
And Lyle, I think, had also mentioned some things. But I think Lyle is trying to get.
He called and he said he's on his way.
Oh, he is. Okay. So I know he's going to want to. I can't recall whether Lyle's comments were in line, thoughts were in line with what George's. That was my vague.
I vaguely recall one of them agreed with the other, but I can't remember which
that's
one.
That's what I think. He had seen it.
Do you want to lay it on the table till we get to?
I would think because he did want to participate. I told him we would try to put it at the end, which this is the end.
We got to kill some committees too.
Right. We're about to. I thought he was. He wanted to come for Scott's item.
Okay. So if that's the case, then I don't. If it's all right with the committee.
Well, do you want to at least go around the table to see if there's sentiment, even to just make it an ordinance? I mean, I'm the one who put that forward.
Yeah.
And as I reported to you, that it seems like more people there is sentiment around the table to make it ad hoc. So regardless of whether Lyle comes or not to chime in, I don't think he's going to, well, unless you think it's going to turn the tide on
whether he may have an opinion about that issue. I'm very, I'll tell you, I don't, Ken, I think, indicated that I'm agnostic about that issue. I mean, I know, Amy, you made the, I just heard you make the point about the level of seriousness in which it may be involved, but then again, we just had a person coming before us on a council that was in the ordinance, and we hadn't even heard of it, so I don't know, you know, the
I know.
So, I don't know if there's a, I don't know if there's a necessary relationship between level of seriousness and its legal form. But I'm totally, I mean, I respect what Marie, you know, what Marie said, and maybe there's, but by the same token, quite honestly, both the administration and the law department have been tepid in their kind of responses. I mean, I think that they had made comments saying, well, look, you know, these are all things that that largely are, you know, subjects of collective bargaining. We all have our experts in it. We really don't kind of need this. And I came away, frankly, from our from all the budget discussions that we actually forced the administration to have, I think, for the good of the public and this board. But I came away from all that thinking, this is precisely what we need, and it's precisely what we need now that we've negotiated. Oh, here's Lyle. Okay. Stalled enough time. Kind of doing a little
He's been vamping, waiting for you to show up.
I've been half dancing. But to me, now that we've negotiated this, you know, that three-year period in which we have, you know, contractually bound ourselves not to, you know, not to raise this and not to do anything, to take the opportunity to really kind of determine, you know, what would be good for the city in terms of that, and also take an opportunity to see what the experience is among those communities that do adopt it, etc. So, and I think what better vehicle perhaps to do that than perhaps this committee. So I see an immediate, you know, need and mission for it. That's my own sense.
Alderman has my hand, and then I'll recognize Alderman.
How would the appointments work, and how would we staff it? I mean, here's my concern. Okay. We pass an ordinance, and I'm concerned exactly about what Amy was saying. We pass it, we create this committee, and then the mayor sits on it, and you know, Sarah Ecker just isn't instructed to recruit anybody, and nobody gets on it. Would it make more sense for the board itself to create its own ad hoc committee, appoint some people to look at it and to advise us?
Well,
I mean, that's the only reason I was thinking the ad hoc might make sense, because I'll tell you, I'll be 100% candid. I think that my concern is, given the response that we got during the collective bargaining process, this is something we can't talk about because we're in collective bargaining, was hot potato, don't want to talk about it. And then it ended up being a fait accompli and no discussion until, you know, we held up the contracts until we could have that discussion. My concern is that this might just be, you know, a Pyrrhic victory, that we, you know, create something and then nothing happens with it.
I think the point's well taken, that if this is, I mean, I think it's so far, and maybe that will change, I think much more an interest on the board than it has been of the executive. So, you know, if this executive does not have a particular interest in it, it's quite possible that they could do exactly what Ted was suggesting, you know. And if we're kind of stuck in a thing together, then maybe nothing moves. Then maybe the better thing is to make it a board vehicle, and we'll move it.
Well,
but I don't know.
I'm going to recognize Alderman Parker, but before that, I just want to say, I think you're right in terms of the board having more of an interest in this, but that's because we're historically left out of the picture. We know nothing until the deal is already cut, and we're there to approve it. Alderman Parker, former Alderman Parker.
Thank you. You know, I think Ted raises a really important question as to what are the practical steps to getting this moving? And I think historically the problem with getting these things moving has been when the mayor has been, not this mayor in particular, but when a mayor who hasn't been excited about an item, about a body, has the initial appointing authority. And the beauty to this model is that five of the seats are appointed by the Board of Aldermen. So that just means Scott Lennon puts the item on the docket, and people presumably make suggestions to Scott. He puts them on the docket. And then imagine the situation where the board has appointed their five members. There's going to be a lot of, shall we call it, peer pressure on the mayor to
to fill his seats too. Because the thing will start meeting and it'll be like, where are the mayoral appointees? So I think that problem is actually solved based on the structure. Now, one could take it to the other extreme and say, well, the mayor's not interested, let's make it all 10 board appointees. But I don't think that's wise, because I think you do want to make sure, the mayor, it should be, if you want to say, roped into the process of participating and thinking about these issues. I think it's a good way of the board flexing its muscle a little bit and saying, hey, we think this is an important enough issue that we're creating this thing and we're giving you some seats and we want to get it rolling.
Okay, yeah. Alderman Baker.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, Alderman Baker.
Well, first place, I think this is a good idea to have done, because, and I think they were past that, the question is how to get it. Let me just give you a little history on the Citizen Advisory Group. It grew out of the Blue Ribbon Commission, and the Blue Ribbon Commission, again, was a joint appointment with the mayor and the president of the board. I mean, and in the case of the Citizen Advisory Group, it was actually the mayor, the chair of the school committee, and me. And we had a protocol at the time that we agreed on any candidate had to pass all three of us. But most of the conversation went on with chair of the school committee. There were other things going on, and the mayor's office was not as active, but they at least went along with it, and ultimately we agreed on all of that. So I do think, even though there is more interest on the board side, I do think there's a need to be to have both the executive in this, because ultimately it's going to need staff. We don't have the staff on our own. And second, you're going to need to have, I think, somebody who can have the conversation with the ultimate transition to the bargaining units, because if we're just talking about the board, or it's a very small window, but if we're trying to, I mean, one of the reasons that the argument I thought had some legs at the board level about why we should not go with the state was, this is a pool that we at least can manage because we've got our own team and we can try and put it together. If we're really going to realize that opportunity rather than just say, let's get a consultant in here occasionally to talk to us about wellness programs, something like this I think has the ability to do that, but it really does require the executive. So I share the view that I don't think it should be an ordinance, because I think an ordinance is a tricky thing to modify if you turn out to need to modify it, but I do think you need to have the executive in it. Now, Alderman Parker's point is that if somebody shows up and the other side doesn't, I hope we don't get to that, because I think that's a conversation with yourself, in a sense.
My point is it won't happen because...
Well, you may be right, but I'd rather not go there if I could avoid it. So that's the only reason I raise all of this, is that the current structure, and I hadn't really thought about this earlier, is that each side appoints its players as opposed to a joint protocol. And you might want to think a little bit about a joint protocol, because that at least gets everybody in the game at the same time. Now, the Zoning Review Committee was a joint protocol. I think both the mayor and the president of the board jointly appointed those people, and it's a citizen advisory group. So we do have some precedence for that, but I think the question ultimately is whether there's will. Having the mechanism without the will is not going to work, but if you have the will, I think the mechanism will work. But I do think it will probably work a little better if there's a joint decision rather than, representative decisions. So that's at least a thought that I'd like to put on the table for you.
Alderman, has my hand, then Alderman Fraser.
Well, now I'm confused. I was almost ready to vote for the ordinance, but now after hearing
now he says no.
I have no idea what to do. So how, just to ask, I mean, how would that work? We then have to go back to the mayor, see if he'll buy into this?
We did what we did with the Citizen Advisory Group. We basically have a resolution from the board.
Right.
We don't, the mayor, first place the mayor has to sign the ordinance unless we want to override veto, and I don't want to get to that point. But we create the vehicle and say, look, this is a situation where this is an important public interest. We want appointees that are jointly appointed by the mayor and the president of the board acting on behalf of the board. And maybe even the school committee chair is involved as well, because there's such a huge component of this. The school population, the teachers' union, that's a big chunk of the bargaining unit, and we don't deal with that. So maybe there's some, at least, conversation about people who can have a conversation with the school interests. But But I think a resolution will get you where you want to go in terms, because ultimately it's going to require the mayor to agree to it anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, my family's about to move into the GIC because the town where my wife teaches actually moved pretty quickly into that. So I'd kind of like to see some action one way or the other, whatever is the best vehicle. I just want to get this going. I'm frustrated it's taken 4 years, but it's nobody's fault. Just feeling like we're going to be spinning our wheels for another 4 years before we get any action.
Well, we'll have a control, be faced with another contract in 3, right? Alderman Blazer.
Yeah, well, I'm frustrated it's taken 6 months, so I can...
Yeah.
You guys, frankly, you know... I
pansy.
I get frustrated easily these days, so no question. I understand what Lau's saying. I really think that what the end result is we want people on this committee who are really skilled and bright and know what they're doing. And I think there's a lot of people new and that are out there that are tremendous resources here that we can get on this board. I'm a little bit, I don't know whether an ad hoc committee and ordinance, to me, I don't understand enough the difference between them, that the appointing power of those, to get either on one of those, it makes a difference to me. I mean, well, obviously you think that in the ordinance is not the way to go.
Well, I just think it's faster just in, you know, because an ordinance obviously has to go through the law department, back out again through the mayor's office, and you get in, it's a codification problem. I mean, a resolution is relatively easy to adjust if you have a glitch.
Okay.
That's all.
Ken?
I guess I stir up more trouble around this place docketing things. Marcy Johnson and I docketed the item that led to the Citizens Advisory Committee, and I actually found that appointment process to be fairly painful. That there, you know, that took a long time. We had really good qualified names, and because there had to be this big consensus negotiation,
it didn't take that long, Cameron.
It took months.
No, it didn't. I did it. Well,
anyway, all right, Lyle. I mean, I don't want to argue with and also some. But the other thing that you do by creating and adding an additional filter, you make it political, because then you have people saying, well, is this person going to do what I want them to do, rather than looking at the qualification. And I think that it's all, an ad hoc committee, again, I don't know, Dick, you keep asking what the difference is. Ad hoc is for a temporary problem. We've got this right in front of us. We've Newton North High School. We want to build a new high school. You know, it's a one-shot deal, whereas this isn't.
That was a long temporary problem.
Well, true, but it was a finite period of time, whereas the healthcare problem is one that we're going to have until we have single-payer healthcare in this country, which I believe will be forever. So I mean, it just seems like, and an ordinance is not, you know, a codification problem in the sense that you pass it and, you know, there's recodification every number of years. But, you know, I will be very surprised if Mayor Warren vetoes this ordinance. Lyle correctly points out that he could. Has he vetoed anything?
Not yet.
Okay, I doubt this is going to be the thing he draws the line in the sand over.
somebody hit the veto pen.
I don't think Mayor Cohen vetoed anything either, did he? I think he just once, because the board requested it to send something back. It was sort of a technical issue. But anyway, so in the last 16 years, I don't know a mayor of the city has vetoed anything because they disagreed with it. So I don't think that's a big obstacle. And so the real thing is, do you have a clear structure? And one thing an ordinance has is it's got clarity. You've got, you know, a resolution that is no legal weight whatsoever, and so you're asking someone to do something. And given the problem that Ted described, that there is a resistance, and I think Steve alluded to this too, that there's a resistance on the part of the law department and the administration to making this happen, then using the stronger mechanism is the one that's more likely to get results. But I agree with everybody else around the table. Something ought to happen. I suggest you vote on Amy's motion, see if they're the votes for the ordinance. If not, go with Plan B.
Alderman Shapiro.
Thank you. So if it was an ordinance, and what would be, and I apologize for not being here for previous conversations about this, but if it's an ordinance, does the vote of that committee have any type of legal weight to compel the mayor to do anything?
No.
My understanding is no. So making it an ordinance, a standing committee, I suppose, doesn't actually provide any additional true power or authority. It's still an advisory role, but it's being put into the books almost in the form of something that is more than advisory.
Through the healthcare advisory committee, health insurance advisory committee, I mean the health and human services advisory committee was appointed earlier this evening. With lots of advisory committees on the books in Newton.
Yeah, the advisory council of health and human services.
Yeah, I wasn't here for the earlier discussion.
Right. So there's how many? Six, eight of them that are purely advisory that are in the ordinance book. This is not unprecedented.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it would seem logical to do it as a task force, which I don't think in any way lessens the gravitas of the need to address healthcare concerns, but do it as a task force for a year, see what happens with it, see if there is some type of movement that's of a consensus nature to provide some advice that we don't already have, see who wants to be on it, see who's willing to commit the time to be on it, and if you get a really highly qualified group of citizens that are interested, then perhaps it could morph into something that is even more, deeper, so to speak. That would be the way I, look at it.
Alderman Hessler, yeah.
Did you already move it?
I did put a motion on the table.
Then I call a question.
Well, which is what
my
motion?
She moved
the
ordinance. My motion was to move the ordinance and the draft that was provided by Alderman Parker, and subject to second call, if there is, because there seemed to be some concern, Marie's email or critique, it seems a little cryptic. We're not really sure why she makes the conclusory statement that it's not appropriate for the ordinances without any real explanation. I moved it so that we could get this going. So there's a motion on the table to approve. Subject to second call. All those in favor? That's Alderman Sangiolo, Alderman Linsky, Alderman Hess-Mahan, Alderman Blazer, and Alderman Rice. All those opposed?
I'm opposed because I prefer not an ordinance, but okay. I'm supportive of the effort.
Alderman Baker is opposed. All those abstaining? Alderman Fishman and Alderman Merrill. So it passes.
Thank you very much. And someone will let me know when it's coming to the full board. And
we'll be at the next.
Yeah. I know how the
time is. Can I change my vote to an abstention? Because I'm not really opposed to the idea.
Okay. That's fine.
I think maybe it's an abstention.
Maybe if it's all right for our purposes, for those others who didn't vote in favor, is it a question about the form of ordinance versus versus not ordinance, or is it anything relating to the what would be the substantive?
My abstention is because I want to hear what Marie has.
Okay.
But we're doing subject to second call.
I understand.
So hopefully we get
explanation. One gloss on this, though, that there's a specific prohibition from elected officials serving. That I didn't hear the explanation for that, but I would be a little concerned about that as a base idea. I wouldn't want to exclude somebody. I just think that you just want to. That's the only other policy piece.
That's only if they're getting benefits.
Well, no, actually, that was no current city employees because including elected officials.
If they're
the only reason why I added the including elected officials is because technically under state law, city officials, elected officials are all are all employees. There's a little ambiguity. I remember at one point there was a talk about stipends and whether you count it as an employee, so no one would wonder about it. Because the idea is anyone who's eligible for the health insurance has a conflict of interest. Even if they're not getting it, maybe they would get it if there were changes. So the idea is to make it a non-political, body based on experts, not based on, kowtowing to constituencies, which we love to do in this building.
I guess
democracy, it's a good thing.
That has been voted, but just you have people appointed by the bodies who are theoretically supposed to represent the bodies, but the bodies themselves can't be part of the thing. So
we have that many. But we have that many situations, though.
Yeah.
That's not unique. Either.
No, I understand. I like the redraft, except for that limitation. But that's the only. You asked my.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys. Hey, see y'all.
Bye, Ken. Have fun.
Good luck to everybody on election day. Most of y'all don't have opponents anyway.
That's right.
So we can't lose. I'm not so sure there's a conflict of interest necessarily at all.
Well, yeah, wait until you get
into
the law department on this. Okay. I went through an entire month trying to figure out whether I can could serve on a citizen committee.
Yeah.
Because the new conflict of interest law seemed to forbid it. Fortunately, the, I don't even know what it's called, the commission on...
The Ethics Commission.
Ethics Commission came down with the new rules that they haven't actually codified yet that say, oh, no, we didn't mean to discourage local elected officials from serving. So, but it took a month of trying to figure out
what it was. There's a big role in favor of an advisory committee.
Yeah.
Looking at it as a process.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get an answer from Marie as to why she recommended that, and then we'll all know.
So I'm going to read the three items into the record while we're waiting for them to come down the hall. First item is item 355-10, President Lennon and Alderman Lappin requesting a change to the rules of the Board of Aldermen to eliminate the Real Property and Reuse Committee. Issues regarding reuse of public buildings to be referred to the Public Facilities Committee, and issues regarding reuse of the city-owned land would be referred to the Land Use Committee. Effective date of this change will be January 1st, 2012. Next item is item number 356-10, President Lennon and Alderman Lappin, requesting a change to the rules of the Board of Aldermen, to eliminate the Post-Audit Committee. All post-audit follow-up items will be discussed in the substantive committee that originally heard the item. Effective date of this change will be January 1st, 2012. Item number 357-10, President Lennon and Alderman Lappin, requesting a change to the rules of the Board of Aldermen to eliminate the Committee on Community Preservation. All community preservation items will be referred to the Finance Committee. Effective date of this change will be January 1st, 2012. And we are joined by President Lennon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I think Vice President Lappin is going to join us as well. She's just wrapping up some comments on public facilities.
Does anyone need a copy of this? I'd like to get this. I just got it today.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
And we will work,
because I use the electronic pack.
We're working up on it through okay. Today. So.
Excuse me, President. Yep. I have to go check in on public safety.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I just heard radio frequency.
I haven't heard a speech. Did you hear a radio
frequency? No, there's a company with an expert saying that, you know, it's within the FCC level that I was flashing back to the towers.
Oh, yeah. Hill Park.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I recognize President Lennon.
Okay, thank you everybody for taking this up so quickly again. Just kind of where we left off last time, really appreciate all the comments and the input that was given during the last time we were here, and Vice President Lappin and I went back and talked a lot about some of the suggestions that were made, and we felt that we've made some amendments to our proposals that we feel took into consideration all the comments made, and would hopefully this committee and, you know, eventually the full board would look favorably upon passage. I was wondering if you just wanted me to take a minute to kind of go through what those were. I'll just start with real property, if that's okay. I think that's where we started last time. Was we had an original proposal to eliminate the committee and refer all the items to the Land Use Committee and or public buildings if it needed to be.
Can I interject for 1 second,
yeah,
Doc?
Yeah.
I'm realizing that before Amy left, she didn't read into the record what we're discussing. So let's before you go too
read
far, let me make sure that
she was doing it when you were out of the room.
I apologize. I just wanted to make sure we didn't go into the whole thing without having identified the items. My bad.
So on real property reuse, our original proposal, I mean, at least from the docket item, was to have to eliminate the standing committee for four items to either land use and or the public buildings committee. And after consideration and hearing the comments from folks, we amended that proposal to put before you tonight to amend the board, our board rule, to eliminate real property reuse as a standing committee. And have it meet on an ad hoc or as-needed basis as implemented by the President of the Board. And the handout that you have here reflects those changes in our board rules. Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's what we emailed.
Oh, okay.
So you'll notice here that it strikes it as a standing committee, and I believe, get with me. You notice in section one, parens B, you'll see new language there that says the president may appoint special committees as required by ordinance or mass general law, such as real property reuse, reprecincting, and recodification committees, as well as special committees. So that would, therefore, we would not have to amend any part of our ordinance. We could, have the real property reuse committee meet. We could designate a JAPG if we needed to, or waive that. It would still be the same standing procedure. It just would not be a standing committee of the board. So that's our amended proposal on real property reuse.
And that had to be changed because of the ordinance, because the ordinance references the real property reuse committee. So, of course, and we ran this by WIDA, and she said this is fine.
So would the board president appoint the members for the ad hoc committee? Or?
Yeah, I think we haven't got down to that level of detail, but I think there were some suggestions that were made last time about, still either doing it by ward or doing it with some area of expertise. I think we could flush that out, but I guess if I was still the president of the board, I would still lean towards, the by ward approach, because it doesn't have to change how we went about doing it and trying to, decide on who's going to be on it or not, or, it just might get a little hairy. So we could flush it up to make that much clearer for a full board vote. But
and within the board, we can figure out expertise.
Yeah, okay. So it wouldn't be to really change that around too much.
Oh, sorry. Alderman Linsky.
Well, since you just indicated you had to strike out the other thing, what defines the jurisdiction then, Linus? I understand that this says
real property reuse, you mean?
Yeah.
Right,
but in other words, I understand that you put in a provision that enables the president to appoint such special committees, and this is now included as one of those.
Right.
But it doesn't define the jurisdiction. So, for instance, if an item about the disposition, sale, or lease of city-owned property right now, by definition, is charged to that committee.
Right.
This doesn't do it, but it doesn't define. If it's a non-standing committee, it still doesn't define what its jurisdiction is. So, right, what would mandate if a reuse issue comes up necessarily for it to be directed to the what would be then the ad hoc?
Because the ordinance says that when the planning department deems something surplus, it has to go to the reuse committee.
It's still going
to
say that.
It still says that, so then it has to go to the board. So when it comes here, then the president...
That's by ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinance says it has to come to us.
Okay, and so that the reference to the reuse committee in that part of the ordinance is still going to take hold, even if that committee has now been expunged from
it. It's just a standing committee. That's why our rules have changed for it to be a standing committee. That's the only difference here, Steve, is that, in Section 1A, we've struck it as a standing committee. We changed the language of A.
I got that.
Standing. Okay. We struck real property reuse, and then... we've obviously struck where you're referencing, like under subsection 7.
Can I raise a question about that? I would recommend striking it in 7 in section 1, but not in section 3. You can say to a special committee on real property reuse to say anything. So you keep the referral, it's just not a standing committee, because these two sections are different. One is the creation of the standing committees, and the other is just the designation. So I would... If I were to make that suggestion, I think that would solve Steve's problem.
I gave mine to Cheryl.
What he's saying is, because in Section 3A, it doesn't reference standing committees.
That's right. You just say to the special committee on a special committee. You wouldn't even have to call it ad hoc. You're saying you have the ability to appoint special committees up here in B. And you're just saying real property reuse goes to a special committee on reuse.
Okay.
Period. That's it.
Okay, we can leave that.
Okay.
I'll ask my hand.
Yeah, I was just going to follow on Steve's question. Just point out Section 2-7, sale or lease of city-owned property. It actually lays it out pretty clearly. It says upon the receipt of the report, The Director of Planning and Development, the Clerk of the Board shall place the matter and that, for referral to property real property reuse. And then it defines membership of the Real Property Reuse Committee shall include one alderman from each ward in the city, be designated by the President of the Board of Aldermen. The Chairman of the Real Property Reuse Committee shall be designated by the President of the Board of Aldermen. So the ordinance still sets up what the committee is going to look like. That's why we needed to jigger around with the rules so that it didn't eliminate it entirely. But I think it's we're safe because it still says what it is, and basically, I mean, the purpose of it is already laid out in the ordinance.
Yeah, we didn't think it was necessary, but if you want us to...
I'd try to leave it out. I go for simplicity. But
yeah, I would just reword it a little bit. I'd say required by ordinance, such as the Real Property Reuse Committee. Because the
That's
others
what
are
it
not.
Says,
no,
it does
it, it's
that.
By general law. And just, I'm just saying it. I would move it around a little bit and think it'd make it clearer. Because that means
so
then, you're clear on what the appointing arrangements are, just as he's indicated. What you're really trying to do is get it out of the standing committee list.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Right. Right? And that's...
what are you suggesting?
I reworded this a little bit. I'll write it out. But you're required by ordinance such as the Real Property Reuse Committee.
Get rid of general law, Mass General?
Well, general law is the real... that really only applies to...
The
reprecincting
and
recodification isn't really a general law, I think. Is it? I can't remember. Is it?
I don't know if it's on brand.
Well, yeah. But whatever it is, we can figure that out. I wouldn't worry about it. It's just a matter of word ordering.
Okay.
And
I thought what was important, too, we worked on this through mid-afternoon, so what I wanted to get really across tonight in what Vice President Lappin and I have done is we've developed a memo that kind of explains why we've entered into this process, our original proposals, what's been discussed, what's been amended, and then put all sort of attachments, rules, subcommittee, the amended board rules language all together. We were hoping to get in the packet this weekend. So we didn't flush this out. We did flush it out. We just had it through this afternoon. So what we really wanted to get across was an understanding to this committee that we took in the suggestions and heard them and wanted to make
Are you trying
changes.
To get a board vote on Monday, or you were trying to wait until you had the full language
tied
up?
We'd like to get a vote from this committee, get a vote
just,
of the full board on the 7th.
Okay.
And have the information out this weekend.
Well, that's fine.
No, just saying so that it gives people enough time to read through and understand it if there's questions.
Yeah, but you could, because the meeting, remember, is a three-week cycle. You've got another week if you had to.
Right. I just want to put it in enough people's hands so that they understand.
No, but I mean, if you had the chance.
You're going to get the committee report anyway. Yeah. It's going to do basically the same thing, but in a more...
Yeah, we're trying to be a little bit more comprehensive.
More comprehensive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's great.
So how do you feel about that? About this one?
Get the stick and kill it.
We tried that. We had to amend it.
Get a fork. We're dying.
Down to the meeting in the end, all three committees would be set up as ad hoc committees, right?
Just this one.
Yeah.
We have proposals for the others too.
Yeah.
Because I don't see anything in here that addresses.
No.
We're going to talk about those.
Yeah.
Okay. But the real property reuse will be set as an ad hoc committee.
Yes.
And the process wouldn't change.
Dr. Schultz, thinking about that?
So,
Alderman Lappin did.
Because
it's just going to be invoked when needed, but would be the whole same process.
Right. Which you won't have to get up and say,
right.
Right.
Okay, is there a motion on this? Is Dr. Adams, please, moving part 10. Alderman Rice has moved up. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So is the primary, again, you know, I've made some feelings already known to you about my thoughts on this, but is the primary reason, can you just restate the primary reason why you feel that this should actually be changed?
Well, what we'll spell out in the memo generally, Charlie, Alderman Shapiro, was that all three of these proposals didn't have the volume of work that was
seen in some of the standing committees. I'm just trying to get exactly what I put in here. Some of the reasons that we've stated in both rules and in this committee, what we've said for all three, were that the workload for these committees is much lighter than other standing committees. Meeting just once a month doesn't help the work product, I use the term flow, especially in the case of post audit. The work could easily be absorbed into current standing committees and be more efficient. It's an additional night that we spend at City Hall, and it's a more efficient use of our time to hear items on a night when we're already scheduled to be here. So, partially some of the reasons. And again, I said for lack of a better term, for political purposes, and what I stated, I think, at the last meeting was that, you know, twice a month we have a committee chair who stands up consistently and says, no reports, or if you're sitting home and the general public saying, that committee never meets, so what are they doing? Or just, you know.
Well, I agree with that. I do think it looks not really great
efficient,
when that
happens. We're not doing something we're supposed to.
Is there anything that would prevent I know this is different than what your proposal is, but is there anything that would prevent those three committees from having quarterly meetings instead of the monthly meetings scheduled? And then the chairs would be, in other words, just because it is one of the nine, is it required, because it is one of the nine, to have a monthly meeting? Is there anything
rules?
It has to have
it's
a monthly
listed meeting. In the schedule of meetings.
Not only the schedule, but in other words, is there anything that says it could be scheduled quarterly or more often if necessary? Because I think that actually might do what you're looking for in that one sense of not having monthly people standing up and doing that.
Can I answer that one?
But still keep the structure solid and still keep the ability for something to be heard by additional chairs when appropriate.
Well, in the case of real property,
yes, all of them.
In the case of real property reuse,
right.
We're not getting rid of the committee. It will be an ad hoc committee. So whenever there is something to be before it, it will be there. So there's really no other reason for it to meet. I know some people thought that the charge of the committee was to look for projects, but it isn't. If you look at the ordinance, it isn't.
Right.
So that committee. In this one case, that committee will be revived whenever there's something to be before it. So there really isn't necessary for it to be quarterly.
I agree. In fact, I actually always thought of that committee as essentially ad hoc to a certain degree anyway, because there's a specific case where something gets referred to that committee, whereas CPC, CPC or CCP? Whereas CCP and post audit, regardless of the actual level of activity going on, that's a different issue. But those two committees seem to me to be less specific, and again, you'll get to those, I'm assuming. But so I guess I just wanted to, you know, throw that out there as a possibility for one or more.
So are you okay with this one, though?
I mean, I take it as a whole package. I want to hear how you're going to treat the other ones before really...
Because we're going to vote on them separately.
Yes. Yeah. My overarching concern on this is I do believe that the elimination of actual committees, regardless of how often they meet, does mean that it is, in general, a consolidation of power into fewer committee chairs, and it does reduce the opportunity for the public to have a broader list of venues where they could have something brought up when, for example, you know, the more substantive, regular, busier meetings are done. In other words, post-audit's a great example. Granted, it doesn't do as much as perhaps it could in a lot of people's mind, but that's a committee where if it chooses to do something more substantive or if it chooses to bring something up, it does give the general public an opportunity to have something heard in that committee where it would not be heard as quickly in a different committee.
That's my concern. Plus the perception of getting rid of the concept of post-audit, I think, is not that great.
All right, well, we're keeping it right to this particular docket item.
Sure.
Alderman Baker.
Let me just add, I've got some language for just to fix this, but the one other piece of this puzzle is that right now there's a committee meeting schedule, and this does away with the the Tuesday following the fourth Monday. And I know the Land Use Committee has done that, but I'm going to say, not so fast. You got 3 nights as it is, really.
We're going to be seeing a whole lot more stuff over in Kessler Woods pretty soon. Ask Mitch.
Yeah. But here's the question. There is no reference to meetings of special committees, and the question is whether they ought to be targeted for that fourth Tuesday or the alternate Wednesdays.
But I'd prefer not to. I'd rather let, if it's a special committee, maybe meeting on a different night is a better night, so I'd rather leave it open.
I'm not troubled by that. I just, the problem I'm concerned about is that he'll take the Tuesday if he can get it.
Betcha.
And so I'd like to hold that Tuesday open because the Tuesday is, if Land Use wants to take it but not own it, that's different.
Yeah.
That's what I want to consider.
Yeah, I'm willing to lease it.
I think that's something we can
kind of get a ground lease, and more than happy to sublet.
That's a little bit too much for
30 years.
It's a serious point, I understand, but I'm
telling you my own concerns.
I'm not looking to arrogate Tuesday.
I'll whether it's me or another president, will work with the respective chairs to figure out a night to do it.
Okay, there was a motion. I thought there was. Alderman Rice has made a motion. Alderman,
so who are we voting off the island?
Exactly.
I'm just going to say at the outset, just to think through, because this is a little different than what we've been thinking. And I think, incidentally, it's much more improved in my mind than it was. I think the changes, in a way, can be viewed as somewhat innocuous in terms of the real substance. But it does raise the point, as I think Charlie and others have been making, is that in theory you could. You know, everything could, this is like the difference of deployment of standing committees versus ad hoc. I mean, we could run the entire board on an ad hoc basis. Could. You know, with everything just being, you know, kind of shot out when necessary. I mean, you can make an argument that nothing per se has to be standing like a standing army as compared to a specialized military task force. There's probably a larger picture about whether or not in terms of deployment and use of resources, et cetera, this is a model that we might want to think about.
Can I try to respond to that? I would only say that would be difficult to sell, because if you still look at the agendas of the three P's in finance, they're all 15 pages.
The loaded, yeah.
Whereas real property is one or two items, post audits one or two. That would be a hard thing to do to designate some of those larger committees as standing committees.
But we all kind of react to things that are before us, etc. So, I mean, I'm just saying you could run the entire show that way if you really want. And then you get into scheduling, as Alderman Baker's just pointed out. Then if everything is ad hoc, then what day is it going to be? You'll never get agreement. You'll never get agreement on meeting
days.
They won't have agreement on meeting days. Now people can set aside. So, that's a long way of saying that I'm going to
move the weekend before.
Okay. So anyway, the motion is to approve as amended, right? I think that's a fair thing. Now, the amendments, to some extent, are going to appear both on the document that you've indicated, which illustrates the changes in the ordinances. There will be a further...
That's going to be attached to our comprehensive...
And there will be a memo that's going to set out the basis for the changes, et cetera. So, but it's amended from when our last discussion was on this item. Okay, so... Any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor, opposed, none, one abstention, and there's one member not present and voting.
I'm sorry, the abstention was...
My abstention.
You were abstention.
Yes. So, by a vote of 6 in favor, none opposed, one abstention, one member not voting, it is approved. That will bring us to the next docket item, 356-10, which is the post audit.
Okay. In similar fashion, as I mentioned, there will be a memo that talks further about, you know, from sort of start to finish where we've come from on this. But to get it to the point of discussion, our original proposal for this item was to eliminate the standing committee and have requests that are docketed just be put, you know, into the substantive committee or where they came from. So I think there was some, again, there was some good comments and dialogue that had come up at the last programs and services meeting. And we did feel, as we mentioned that night, as we've mentioned all along, that the post-audit function, I think, is important to a number of items. We actually got into some specifics at the last Programs and Services Committee meeting about different docket items. I think we talked about the Newton South High School fields. We talked about the Laura Road subdivision. Those were two items that we used as examples in Brigham House in the last Programs and Services
meeting. Lessons learned list.
That could have been addressed. In fact, I believe the Newton South High School fields was addressed in the Substantive Public Facilities Committee in a post-audit fashion. And the Laura Road subdivision, whereas Alderman Yates and I may not have agreed the night in Programs and Services, it felt that that particular issue could have been addressed in a different fashion, that it didn't need to be taken up in post-audit over the course of a number of months. And lastly, you brought up the example of Brigham House at the last meeting.
Right. Well, that was
CCP.
CCP that came to post-audit, but we had to re-educate everybody. But one of the things, I don't think Charlie was here at the last meeting, but one of the things we talked about was we are not eliminating the post-audit function. That still exists. And in other communities, the post-audit committee is really to look at things that the committee did, and that I understand. This post-audit committee is just to follow up on items that we've passed, not to review our own work. So in order to follow up on items that have already come before us, the easiest and most efficient way to do that is in the committee that discussed it initially. So that's one thing we talked about, the difference between other post-audit committees.
I recognize Alderman Shapiro.
I get that. One of the items that was talked about over the last year, not consistently, at various points throughout the last year, there were a few meetings about. Alderman Johnson was in. She had some questions, but her husband was having some dealings, trying to get information with the elections department, for example. And there was some questions regarding the state database matching up to the local database in elections. We had a couple of different meetings in post-audit. We were able to call in Mr. Manso to discuss things a lot. I mean, so things like that, where, you know, it was a concern, but not necessarily a, you know, a dramatic concern that would rise to the level of being put on, you know, the agenda for
programs and services.
Well, and this is my point, though, is that this committee, from what I've seen, is super busy.
Not as busy as land use.
I'm sorry?
Nobody.
That's right.
Obviously, no one has a busier.
No.
Well,
that was like a timely thing, I'm sure, the chair or one of the.
Well, I mean, you could argue that it was timely to her at that moment, and it may not have been as timely to other people on the committee. But what struck me about that is that it relates directly to what you're talking about doing, which is essentially eliminating at a separate committee where something that is not necessarily, dramatically important in comparison to other things, but is important to a particular individual, you're getting rid of an opportunity for...
We're not.
We haven't explained the amended proposal yet.
Yeah, but it's a different place that it could wait 3, 6, 9 months potentially.
Well, it could wait at post-audit forever. I mean,
well, but it doesn't because it's...
Can I just explain the amended proposal?
Yes, please.
It might be helpful that happens and then I'll
recognize the president. Yes, that'd be great. Thanks.
So what we originally had was to eliminate the committee and have the request docketed in the substantive committee, which would then make it a part of the agenda, give it a docket item, fall to the bottom. It could sit there for who knows how long. So what we...
Taxpayers won't have to come to two separate groups.
So what we had said was that we would still amend the board rules to eliminate the standing committee, and that we would add language to our rules that we don't have in here as of yet, but we'd have to work on that. Maybe Alderman Baker might be helpful with that. Add some language to our rules to have a post-audit function as follows.
What page are you on?
Yeah. I'm just reading from my memo. These are my reference notes for the...
You didn't get a chance to get a draft.
We got from the committee last time.
Is it easy if I look up and don't read it? That way just tell you what the amendment is. So it's have the requestor discusses the issue and or the request with the chair of the substantive committee to see if the issue can be addressed or rectified. And when I thought that through, or when we thought that through, we could apply that to every example that we've already discussed around this table tonight. If it cannot be addressed and or rectified, the chair of the substantive committee, in consultation with the president of the board, will docket an item in the substantive committee. The item will be required to be initially heard in the committee within 60 days. We talked to David Olson very briefly. We're going to follow up on this on Friday to somehow, if it's, we could put a parens on it, whether it be an R or something like that, and have the note on the bottom, almost like a board action date, just like we do with land use items or something like that. So it would say that the docket item needs to be initially heard in that committee within 60 days. And that sounds like a lot, but technically in 60 days, there's really only 3 or 4 meetings of that committee. And if it's not addressed initially, because we may have a very decent discussion initially by bringing in a department head or bringing someone in, then the substantive committee has 90 days to take an action from that point. At that point in time, I would hope it's almost the same time frame as we've worked on with the post-audit committee, but at the same time, with the substantive committee working on it, I think the Newton South High School fields, we took up in one night or two nights and we got that issue rectified. And I felt, and I said this, I'm not talking out of school, I said this at the last committee meeting, that I thought the Laura Road subdivision issue could have been handled the same way. We brought in one night 3 or 4 different department heads and had a half an hour meeting and got nowhere. And they had to come back the next month, which I thought was, it's to have 3 department heads here one night. Was a big use of resources to stretch over a period of time. So that's our initial, that's the amended proposal, and that was to address the fact so that an item would not sit in a substantive committee for an extended period of time so that it doesn't get lost in an agenda, and it still gives the opportunity for constituents, aldermen, whomever, to come to a committee, voice their concerns, express their concerns. I'll continue to use the example of Newton South Fields. I mean, the Farrells were here that night. We had all the abutters. I think Chairman Schnipper was very gracious to allow everybody to speak. We brought the company in. I thought it worked out pretty well. So that's...
Actually, can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
Actually, this gives the public more of an opportunity because this committee meets twice, or all of the other committees meet
twice a month.
Yeah. So it gives people more of an opportunity
to
speak.
Quicker.
I would, respectfully, completely and totally disagree with that. But I think there's a couple of concerns here.
I recognize Alderman Shapiro.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I thought
it was part of the chain already. I had ordered it by affirmation.
Thanks. I think the idea of having an expedited hearing process, so to speak, in the substantive, what are we calling the ones that are not substantive again?
Standing.
Thank you.
Or substantive, too.
Okay. I do think that the 60-day thing, if it's going to go in that direction, I do think that that makes some sense, and I'm glad you've given that some thought. I do think that it is not correct from a factual perspective to say that the committee is not being eliminated, because the committee would be eliminated.
The function isn't eliminated.
The function. The difference between the function being eliminated and the committee being eliminated. The committee itself, by virtue of the fact of getting rid of it and putting its function somewhere else, the committee is, in fact,
we are eliminating.
The proposal is to eliminate post audit and oversight.
As a standing committee.
As a committee.
With a separate chair and process of getting things to that committee. In other words, right now what you have is you have, for example, the Programs and Services Committee with a chair and vice chair, and you have a Post Audit and Oversight Committee, or CCP or whatever, with a chair and a vice chair. So you essentially have more opportunities for more decision makers to allow the public to chime in on something, and there may be some duplication in that, because if it goes to Post Audit, obviously, you know, Post Audit needs to bring it back to some other committee. A lot of times we don't do that because it's just deemed that, you know what, it had a hearing, we listened to it, we didn't feel there needed to be any additional action, and so at least it got a full hearing and a discussion, and it gets MAN'd, and fine, done. That seems to be an appropriate way to utilize the committee. I am uncomfortable that it's another one of these things where the chair of this and others gets up and says, no report, thank you very much, it doesn't look great, I get that. And I think that that may be a committee, rather than to reassign its duties to something else, that may be a committee where, for a whole host of reasons, it makes sense to keep and make it on a quarterly or even a buy-in, even twice a year if necessary. But just the fact that we would be getting rid of a chair of the Post Audit and Oversight Committee's ability to bring something in quickly and have a hearing on it for the public, I think is a really, really bad thing. So I would definitely be against that. And I guess I'll hold my comments on CCP until we get there.
Thank you. Any other member want to speak? Alderman Hesmahan.
I haven't changed my mind from the beginning. I think this is long overdue. We discussed this 4 years ago. I was in favor of getting rid of it then. I mean, I think if the substantive committee can't handle the post-audit and oversight of its own items, then, you know, maybe it's a real problem with that committee. But we were on the CCP together when Brigham House came up. I do remember the Newton Southfields, because I remember getting the call from Stephen Farrell and getting it scheduled and getting it in there and getting it resolved real quick. And it was no muss, no fuss, because basically the same cast of characters that were there for that were there for several other items as well. I really think it works best when the substantive committee that's already learned on a particular thing, because they deliberated it, they discussed it, they recommended it for approval, then gets to go back and see, because generally it's because the executive hasn't followed through or somebody else hasn't followed through. It's not because the committee has screwed up in some way. But if that were the case, that the committee has screwed up in some way, the president still has the discretion to then appoint a special committee to address that specific issue. And so I'm confident that we have the tools and we have to know how to get any problem with post audit and oversight addressed either in the substantive committee or through a special committee if it's really an extraordinary circumstance.
Okay. I'm going to recognize Alderman Fishman, Alderman Baker, and then Alderman Shapiro. Thanks.
So it's been several years since I was in the post audit. You know, I haven't really gone to a post audit meeting recently.
A lot of people.
What are the, just as an example so I can understand it, and I understand the Newton Southfields issue as public facilities. What would be just a narrative on what committees would get to work based upon recent experience with post audit or in the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, Brigham House.
Yeah. If it was passed out of that committee. If there's a problem.
So what would Brigham House?
Brigham House was a CPA.
It was a CPA-funded project.
So it would go back to that committee that had already.
It got bollocked up. Yeah. Just real briefly, yeah. It got bollocked up. There was a lot of things that should have happened before they came in for the original, my view, appropriation. Mm-hmm. that didn't get done subsequently after we had already appropriated the money, come to find out that the design was not properly done. We had to add handicapped access bathrooms, extra fire, whatever. There was a lot of things that should have been done and should have been ready before we ever appropriated funds, so we had to appropriate more funds. We brought back the people that were involved in those decisions after we appropriated additional funds to figure out what went wrong, and we got the answers we wanted to get. We actually got the answers, most of them, in trying to approve the additional appropriations. But we docketed, I think, a parens item. I don't even remember.
Right, we wanted to make sure, find out what has happened, and make sure it doesn't
make sure
again
it never happen again.
From the CPC.
Right.
But then it went
to
post-audit.
No, it did
go to post-audit, and when it got to post-audit, we had to re-educate everybody.
And it took forever.
It was ridiculous. Remember what year it was? Last year? It was like two years ago.
Well, it was when you were chair, wasn't it?
But then we had to tell the whole story, we had to re-educate everybody. It should have just gone back to...
But here was the issue about once it hit post-audit was a building deposit was here. But inspectional services, which changed the scope of the building, wasn't there. So it was sort of like, oh, we get half the people here, and then eventually it just got in.
And we had to wait another month before another meeting. I mean,
but maybe if it were that committee, I don't know if he would show up. He had to be in the room,
yeah.
But still.
Where is
he? But it really, we could have saved a lot of time and done just as good a job, probably better, if it were.
No, I mean, we ended up getting referred to post-audit instead of coming back to CCP, where we could have administered punishment. Excuse me, where we could have talked about the issue. Sorry, let it slip.
So, that's...
But, like, I think to Alderman Fishman's point, I think it's obviously where the original work comes from, that's obvious, but the point is that we have hundreds of docket items that go through our business on a given term, and we have a problem with a handful of them that get referred to post-audit. And our point is, rather than come to a meeting night on a Tuesday night and have a separate committee get re-educated on the whole issue, and just use that example. So the first month buildings came and didn't have a lot of information and told everybody about what was going on.
I understand that.
Okay.
I was just trying to get my hands around the concept of what committees would now have to take up that.
Wherever
the item came from.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Where have the items
from? If it's the Newton South Fields, it's going to be public facilities because they approved it in the
and
first place.
And the public facilities have brought in the...
No, but it's actually a good question. It is a good question he's asking because this is something that I talked about at the last meeting. I'm not sure if you were yet. Going back to... did a little bit of research going back to 2003 on the post-audit committee, okay? And in items, I'll use one example. There was an item that was docketed by Alderman Colletti that was to follow up on fire station repairs. And I don't remember if it was an 02 item or an 03 item or an 04 item. There were only so many docket items that we had in that committee. We talked about those items in the same items in 2004, 2005, 2006 and 2007, the same docket items. We have to get referred over and over and over and over and over again. Whereas if it just had been sent back to whether it be public safety or public facilities, we probably could have wrapped up the questions or got the questions answered in a significantly less amount of time. So that's an example.
Why would it be going back 5 years? Was it Alderman Colletti keep reappearing?
Maybe holding it.
The post-audit committee kept holding it.
Yeah.
For more information.
Yeah. At his request.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was at his request. I'm only going by docket items. You asked me for an example. I'm trying to provide an example.
I'm trying to understand myself what that is.
Are you guys... Alderman Baker and then Alderman Shapiro. I know I left them.
Play nice in the
back.
Sandboxes.
Alderman Baker.
Okay. The policy of having a committee or not is a separate question. If we're going to have the function, frankly, I would just have, I wouldn't have a special accelerated calendar. We have a rule that says you're supposed to take up an item now, I think, within 60 days. That's the general rule. I don't think there's a a need to have this special procedure. If you've got a post-audit item, you just say, I have a post-audit issue relating to whatever it is, and refer it to the committee and deal with it in due course. I don't know that you really need the safeguard of
belt and suspenders. We actually discussed that last time. I believe that was brought up because the rule is really not being adhered to now.
Which one?
I understand.
The 60-day rule.
The problem is there's no effective. Let me flip that. If you put that in and say you got to take it up and they still don't take it up, then the question is, so what happens? There is no effective remedy except that the president can talk to the chair, and if the chair agrees, great, but if the chair doesn't, the president has the authority to fire the chair.
That's not really it, Alderman Bacon. I think the point is, in our current rules, that all items are to be heard within 60 days, I don't have the exact
language. We had actually expanded that period of time.
Okay. The point, I think, is, though, those are brand new items. I mean, if these are items that have already been heard and or passed in a particular committee, it should be able to be rectified at the request of someone who's requesting it. It's obviously an issue. It should be able to be rectified in a decent amount of time for the person that's asking it, or maybe they're asking it on the behalf of a constituent. If that's the case, that if there's a particular rule that is in our rules that's not being adhered to, you know, rather loosely, then I guess it's up to us to start enforcing that and make sure that that's being done in every single committee. We're simply trying to put some sort of process and procedure to this because of the concern that we heard, vis-a-vis Alderman Shapiro's concerns, that a particular item that goes back to a substantive committee could sit there and die for an extended period of time without having some sort of, you know, without it being rectified. So we heard those concerns, and we went back and tried to put something loosely together that would have it addressed in the substantive committee in a reasonable time frame.
I'm not opposed to that. I just didn't know if you really needed it, but I'm okay with it.
Alderman Shapiro? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's
it. Alderman Shapiro?
Yeah. I mean, again, it seems like, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but it is pretty beaten already, I suppose. In every possible public perception fashion, essentially getting rid of, I know it's not the function that you're getting rid of, I get it, don't worry, but getting rid of the post-audit and oversight committee of the Newton Board of Aldermen is a horribly bad message to send, because that's like getting rid of, not an appeals court type of situation, but getting rid of another potential different venue that can look at something with a fresh set of eyes that's different from where it came from. If you bring something back to the same committee from whence it came, you don't have different eyes looking at it. You have the same eyes looking at it at a different time, but you are effectively getting rid of the appropriate fresh look by a different set of eyes. And I think that's a really, really bad message to send. And I'll dovetail into the CCP half a second, because I think there's an example that can be taken from this. The Dedham Street project that was proposed, the potential 16 or 20, depending how you looked at it, units, was a phenomenally good example, I think, regardless of how somebody feels about the outcome, of the value to the public of having to go to multiple. I mean, some people look at it as, well, it was a duplication of effort, so therefore it's a bad thing.
Are you talking about CCP now?
I'm bringing it up in the sense that when you have something that goes to that extra step where somebody has an additional venue, whether it was CCP with Dedham or whether it's post-audit, there's a different venue that has the ability to look at it. It can be fast-tracked by virtue of the fact that the post-audit exists. Without that, you are getting rid of a committee chair who has the ability to go, okay, I'm going to put it on right now. I mean, Alderman Swiston has the ability, and previous chairs have had the ability, whether it has been used as effectively or as often as it could have been, that's a different issue. But that ability
to immediately respond to somebody is eliminated. And I think that's a really, really bad thing. So I just think it's not... I think that to go quarterly with that would solve a lot of the issues while you are still maintaining the integrity of that extra venue where somebody can go and have their issue concern heard.
Alderman Lappin.
Okay. You're talking about looking at an issue with fresh eyes. Again, yeah. that is the job of post audit committees in other, you know, like at the state level, that is overseeing the work that they're doing. This post audit committee isn't overseeing the work of the committee that did the work. This post audit committee is really a follow-up committee. So we don't need fresh eyes, actually. It's better to have the eyes that were involved in the first place. So we're not overseeing ourselves. And I know in other, you know, at the state level, there is a committee that oversees the work, you know, an independent, you know, committee that oversees the work. This post audit committee follows up on projects that we have approved money for, on things that we've asked to be done that haven't been done. So really, we don't need fresh eyes. We need the eyes who know what we're talking about. And I don't remember your other point, but
it was good, I'm sure.
I don't know. All I know is again, we're not. If the public thinks that we're eliminating the checks and balances on ourselves, that's not what we're doing. So I'm telling you, that's not what we're doing. And if they think it's what we're doing, then we can tell them that's not what we're doing, because it's not. What we're doing is eliminating a committee, not a function. We're making us more efficient by keeping it in that committee. So
I'm going to let Charlie...
I'm sorry, I just wanted to...
No, that's fine. I just let President Lennon know. I'm going to let Charlie respond, and then I'll recognize him.
Okay.
Charlie.
Thanks. I get it, what you're saying. I disagree with you're saying, but with what you're saying...
Which part?
Well, most of it. But the part that I specifically disagree with, let me start with what I agree with. The part that I agree with is that I realize that the function of post-audit and oversight is not necessarily supposed to be a punitive, codified check and balance type of thing.
Right.
That's essentially what you were saying, right?
Yeah, it's not.
But I do think that even though the committee does not, and I don't believe should, have authority in any sense over anything. It's just a referral type of thing. I mean, that's the way it's structured. And I have no thoughts about changing that at all. I think it makes sense. I think that by virtue of the fact you have different eyes or different people looking at something that there are questions about, does bring in some sunlight and does provide a venue to open up the process when appropriate, when necessary, when a separate chair wishes to do that because they feel that it might be beneficial to the public to be heard quicker. So it's not that there's a punitive type of action that the substantive committee needs to worry about, for example, post-audit going, well, you know, you guys, what were you thinking here? This doesn't make any sense at all. It's not that. It's that there should be a mechanism, a venue, to be heard right away, or to have that other group of eyes, the other 8 or 16, I suppose, eyes, if you find the pairs, to be able to take a look. And I don't think it's a bad thing to have to educate the other committee. In fact, I would strongly agree that when you are put in a position where you need to justify what was done, and why it might have been the right decision. If you can't justify it...
You're not justifying anything.
Well, if you're educating... No, I'm saying... You're educating the... Well,
I think what Charlie is trying to say is you'll be justifying your decision if you vote this through to the public if there's an issue raised on whether it's a good call or not in terms of eliminating this committee. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, essentially what I'm saying is if you can explain why you did something, not you personally, but, you know, the committee, the, you know, land use or whatever. You made the decision, somebody has a problem with it, they want to file something, you don't want to deal with it because you knew you were right, because, you know, whatever.
But that's different.
And I understand.
He never feels that way.
I understand. But what I'm saying is there's nothing bad. In fact, there's everything good about having another committee with the other eight people who weren't part of that original decision, potentially, and you can justify and say, hey, look, this is what it was. We did the right way. We took a fresh look. Here's why, and we're good.
President, and Alderman has their hands.
Okay. I thought this was going to be the easiest of the three.
What happened with the rest? Oh, never mind.
We passed one. So, Alderman Shapiro,
yes,
you appear to be very concerned with public perception. As the vice chair over the course of the last 2 years, how many items have we reported out of post-audit?
I don't have a number, but very
few. We probably haven't reported any out, okay? So, each time we have a meeting, twice a month, we say either no report,
right,
or when we do report something out, it's usually no action necessary, okay?
Yep.
So, I think that the public is more concerned about results. I think the public is more concerned about coming to a meeting and hearing their, getting their voice heard and getting some action taken, whether it's in a public meeting or not. People are worried about when they have a concern and something goes, for lack of a better term, wrong, that someone is going to act on it and someone is going to get them a result. 12 times 2, 24 times a month, I think we're sending the wrong message to the public by standing up and recognizing our post-audit and oversight committee and doing nothing.
Well, I agree with you.
Okay. Well, you really don't, because if you did, you'd be looking to try to find a way to get results. And what we're trying to do is get results, to bring people in, whether it's within 60 days or within 90 days, to have department heads here, to have aldermen here, to have constituents here, to talk about an issue that's important to them in getting them some sort of result. Okay, whether you want to call it post-audit and oversight, whether you want to call it follow-up, whatever you want to call it, I don't really care. The thing is, it's getting results. What's happening right now is we are not providing any results. We probably have, in the course of the 8 to 10 years that I did a review, maybe 8 to 10 different items. That's one issue. So what public perception are we putting forward? Really?
Charlie, before I recognize you, I gotta...
It's like I'm concerned that we're worried more about, I mean, no one is worried more as board leadership how the board is perceived or what it is that we are doing. We are still trying to essentially strengthen the function, a post-audit function, within our existing committees.
I need to recognize Alderman Baker. Alderman Baker?
I understand the policy discussion, and I'm sympathetic to some of the concerns that Alderman Shapiro has raised, but I thought our committee had made the call for purposes of this conversation that we were trying to figure out language to accomplish a result. The policy issue is certainly going to be a conversation at the board level, and I supported the amendment because I thought it made sense with some, and I guess I'm no disrespect to the policy issue, and I do think Alderman Shapiro deserves a hearing about it, but I'm running out of gas on this tonight, folks, and I'm interested in looking at the language, if we can, about these three issues, and just trying to be helpful to that, because if we're going to talk to policy, I'm just going to have to personally say goodbye, not because I'm not interested, I'm just running out of steam.
Well, you, Alderman Baker, you'll get the language. We gave you what the language is essentially going to say, what the 60 days...
No, that's okay. I'm waiting for community preservation, that's why.
All right.
Alderman Shapiro.
Okay. Duly noted, and since I wasn't here for the previous discussions and everything, it is what it is. I would like to, however that would be done, to just put on the table either a proposal, suggestion, what have you. And if it needs to be a separate docket item, then I can do it that way. But I would like to propose in whatever appropriate form that
that the schedule, that the committee be retained, that the schedule be revised so that, whether it's quarterly or whatever, I'm open to that, because I do agree with the president of the board that I think that he understands my concern about the perception of coming up with no action, you know, no report and all that stuff. But to me, the meeting itself, just because there was no action necessary coming out of the docketed items that were at the meeting, does not in fact mean that to the person who got their item heard, there was no action. Technically, it was no action. But there was an action. And the action was that the person was heard. It just looks horribly bad when we stand up and say,
may I make a procedural suggestion?
So I would go forward with your discussion. And
I think the simple way to deal with it, there would be a report from the committee, and the only thing you would do if you were trying to accomplish this would be to substitute, remove a substitution that changes the schedule of the meeting, because that would be the only change in the rules. But I think you may have to docket a separate item because that's not within the scope of this one.
He would, because our amendment is to still eliminate.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, just as a way of getting the conversation moving forward. That's all.
Alderman Hussmann.
I'm ready to move it. For all the reasons Scott actually said a lot of things I was going to say. I'm assuming in my absence. But also, in part, I mean, I just have to say, with respect to the fresh eyes thing, I think the answer to that is, if a set of fresh eyes is needed, the president still has discretion to appoint an ad hoc committee that can do that. And, you know, obviously, I don't think that's going to hurt the public perception at all. And I agree with everything else he said. I just find this committee, as, you know, the current function is like legs on a fish. Just they're just not necessary.
Alderman Fishman.
I prepared to lecture on a fisherman.
So, okay. I normally don't agree with my colleague, who is the chairman of that other committee.
Of that other committee.
But,
they work so hard.
You know, it's interesting. I listened to Charlie, and he's so, you know, all the Shapiro. He, you know, I'm listening to Charlie, and I'm thinking on television, he's going to get up and say the same thing when we're at the board meeting. And I'm thinking that he is right. There is a perception out there by calling it post audit. Whoever decided to call it post audit and not function as a state post audit, probably that's wearing the issue. And I think Ted has sort of the answer. I think the answer is that, you know, if it is a significant issue that needs fresh eyes, and, you know, we'll all know when it needs fresh eyes for whatever the cause is, probably that's the time where that kind of ad hoc committee would come into play. And I think that's probably a very good idea. And maybe at the committee meeting, the full board meeting, be careful to describe this, that it has not functioned as a post-audit, because that's not our intention. I think we need to kind of dispel that. Because it is a hot issue. It doesn't have to be a hot issue. But I think Ted actually has the right way. And I guess I would like to see the president put something in his memo that might reflect that. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be helpful to the full body when they hear this, assuming it's reported out there.
Yeah, it'll be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Alderman Linsky.
I'm trying to be brief. I was struck as we started to get into this discussion that I think going back to the last one, and by way of an amendment to the motion to approve, that we know that this is going to be taken up in second call anyhow. I'm sure you anticipate it. And probably because we're midstream in the actual document that's going to set this out in some way, it's probably most appropriate to say that our votes are subject to second call, technically anyhow. I don't think it's a big deal. We're going to be discussing this in second call. The only other thing I was going to say about post-audit, and I had said my stuff earlier, was that, it's maybe more of a function of where the docketers have been coming from, because if a docketer really wants the item to go back to committee, right, and get hashed out and get the action that maybe should have been done or whatever it was, they have that option, right? They're free to docket it back to that same substantive committee. The idea of the post-audit, I think largely, even if it hasn't been used this way, is for those instances where
the docket feels it shouldn't go back to the substantive committee, because maybe the substantive committee was the issue in the first place. I don't know. That's why legislative bodies have always had post-audit committees. I appreciate the effort here, which is to get performance and to make the perception of performance from the board more obvious to the public. And it's perhaps not so because of, you know, the list of standing committees that we have, and as we go through the charade each time, where most don't report. So I hear that part of it, and I'm open. That's why I'm saying the other one, just to think through about how that works with real property. And I would feel the same way with post-op. I'm not going to, I don't think I'd be troubled for it not being a standing committee, but rather being, you know, kind of ready on and called, because it's the same thing. It will only arise when called upon. So, but just like we had a, someone read the provision 2.7, that talks about the jurisdiction of real property, we give them when it comes into place. I think I'd like something similar for what would be the same for post audit, and that's probably going to be in your memo as you've been describing it. So I'm just going to rest.
What will probably
be. In other words, the kind of well describe the how that committee would be called in. And
would it be composed of?
Yeah, blah 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 blah. Because now we're essentially my proposal.
My proposal is to send it to the substantive committee. So why am I going
to
spell
not
it?
Not to do an ad hoc.
No.
Okay, but it's just
he could if he wanted to.
I'm just saying.
But he wants you to spell out how you do that. But that's not his proposal.
Because what you're saying in the memo. Because what you're saying is essentially, well, we have a special committee option. Okay.
It's in our rules.
No, but
he's talking about if there's something that
you need something
our
in the memo just to let people
do,
know.
But something that the state does. So if there is somebody upset about what we do, I mean,
then you can complain that my memo was too long. Now you want to add more stuff to it.
Well,
you just need more time.
It doesn't matter. I will wait.
No, it's
you
just
will,
an example of how that if that
right.
ever.
We don't have to discuss it because you will submit it, and it will be. Yeah. You know, we'll all get to look at it, etc.
It's going
to
be a long next meeting.
Yeah. So,
Alderman Yates.
Yes, thank you.
Because if it is, I'm just going to move it on to the next meeting because it's the night before the election. So.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll turn on bore you with what I bored you with last time.
I wasn't here.
But good,
you get a chance.
And I wasn't bored.
I think the problem is, in terms of effectiveness, and I think it's good that we're all trying to focus on that, is that, in my view, and I've docketed items that should have gone to post-audit in retrospect, and I left them in the substantive committee, but then nothing happened because the substantive committee was burdened with too much, and there was no way that it was reasonable to expect the substantive committee to take it up. In the other case, it crossed boundaries of different departments, and again, substantive committees that just didn't have the time to get to it because of their other pressing concerns. I don't think there's anything wrong with having another way of approaching props, being critical of the other committee is being critical of the workload of the other committee. And obviously we're all agreed that it does sound pretty stupid to have people get up and say no action necessary. I would suggest we change that report language to say no further action necessary to reflect that actually something was done and that's it. So regardless of the outcome of this, I'd like to take a look at that. So,
I'm sorry, if what I heard was correct, instead of, you want us to now change the way we vote NAN to NAFN?
That's a separate item. NAFN, boy, that doesn't sound
good. Well,
I like NFAN.
I like it.
All right, NFAN.
But unlike five members of the Land Use Committee, I won't beat a topic.
He's just jealous.
President Lennon.
If Alderman Yates was here when we gave the amended proposal, which was in direct response to your snow items about having it initially heard within 60 days and then having an action taken within 90 days in the substantive committee.
Because I think that puts a burden back on the substantive committee that they didn't take it up because they were being malicious or malingering. They didn't take it up because they had a lot of other stuff to do.
But now with one less committee, we'll have so much more time.
Really? How does that work?
It's being sarcastic.
Why don't you get me some gourmet food? They'll explain it.
Gentlemen, I know it's getting late. There is a motion on the table to approve. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor? That's Alderman Fishman, Alderman Merrill, Alderman Rice, Alderman Blazer, Alderman Hessmahan, and Alderman Sangiello. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Alderman Linsky. The third portion of the proposal is the Community Preservation Committee. President Lennon.
Yes. So the original proposal that we had before the board, committee last time, was to eliminate the Standing Board Committee, and that CPA recommendations would go directly from the Citizen Committee, would go directly to the Finance Committee. And a representative, we also discussed a representative of the Finance Committee could be appointed to the Citizen Community Preservation Committee. Well, we presented that to the Rules Subcommittee, and we presented that last time to the Programs and Services Committee, and that was the item that sparked a lot of further debate, and I thought a lot of good suggestions were put forward with regard to that. There was some concerns about having to, just having one board committee of eight people sort of be the, judge and jury on a particular funding request. There was the comment made that, funding requests that come across from the mayor's office have to go through two committees. Whether they, come to PF and then go to finance if it's a funding request for roads or something to that effect. So they said that, why would community preservation applications have sort of a lesser extent of review, especially on, sometimes significant funding for housing and things like that, only go to one committee. So we heard that. We thought that was an excellent point. We thought it was an excellent point that, when you have a substantive committee take a look at it, and then, the Finance Committee look at it, technically you have the potential of having 16 different aldermen look at it, which makes it easier to come forward. Our initial hope was to talk about expediting some of these because, the petitioner may have to go to the Citizen Committee for quite a while, then the Sports Community Preservation Committee for a while, then the Finance Committee for a while. It takes a little bit of time. And I think also partly what we discussed last time was that the board's Community Preservation Committee meets at the end of the month once, which is after the last Finance Committee meeting. So essentially, they may have a decent item that can't get taken up for another 2 to 3 weeks before it gets into Finance. Finance may not be able to take them up at that time. It gets pushed off to a future meeting. So all these things we weighed, and we thought that there were a lot of good points made. So we've amended our proposal to still eliminate the board's standing Community Preservation Committee, and that recommendations would go from the Citizen Committee to a substantive committee of the board. At the last meeting, we talked about, in conjunction with Alderman Yates' item, because Alderman Yates had a sister item, that talked about instead of going right from the Citizen Committee to, forgive me if I'm portraying this the wrong way, going from the Citizen Committee, open space and rec issues would go to, I don't remember who you said.
Open space would go to conservation, right. Recreation would go to permanent services.
Okay.
What's
so
conservation?
What?
Conservation Commission?
Buying land just for open space, that would be...
No, his proposal was... He had laid out specific... There's a four components to the community preservation. How we had said, well, how about if housing and historic preservation items go to ZAP?
Oh, okay.
Okay, how about if, and then open space and recreation items go before programs and services and then to finance? So... What we did too, and I think there was some discussion around the table, forgive me if I'm wrong, folks, was that folks didn't want a pigeonhole. They said maybe leave it a little bit open in case there's some sort of petition that comes forward that may be better suited for another committee, but if you specified it so much, it has to go to that committee. So at the same time, because, you know, finance is a key player in this. We ran that language by Alderman Gentile without him even knowing what the discussion was in programs and services, and he came back with the same point. I said, I'd rather see you just leave it sort of open and have the president, you know, decide, or the, you know, the clerk's office decide where it should go to a substantive committee, get a recommendation, and then come to finance. So essentially, what we've done is...
In accordance with the rest of the rules for referrals?
Right, same thing. Absolutely, but it just wouldn't say that specifically...
Yeah, that's fine.
There are some way that the combination of this story...
Yeah. So we've amended the proposal not to, you know, bypass any sort of other board committee. There would be a referral to a substantive committee. That substantive committee would make a recommendation to finance. The hope is also that they meet more consistently, they'd be able to hear CPA applications quicker, get them to finance quicker, and get them out before people. So that's the amended proposal.
Alderman Hessman.
I like this. I mean, this my big concern about all of this was not that I just wanted to kill the committee, although that gave me a certain amount of pleasure. But the
Susan, did you hear that?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't the individuals. I mean, what it was very frustrating. Exactly the point that was being made is that, you know, the citizen committee meets at the end of the month, and then the 9 times out of 10, the aldermanic committee meets right before that. And so you've lost a month right there, and then God help you if, you know, you hold an item, it could go on and on and on. I think having the...
Well, I remembered what I needed.
having the three P's in the other committees, which meet far more often, able to do this and be more flexible and move it to finance more quickly, was my goal. I you know, it was basically to get this stuff heard, get it done, and boy, the fact that anybody can change my mind about anything means it must be pretty good. So, I support it.
Alderman Lindsay.
Well, this is one where I have, again, I appreciate the overall effort, but I have really disagreed from the beginning on this. Mm-hmm. Not merely speaking as a former chair of the committee, whatever, but there's a program, there's a programmatic aspect of this. This is not just project by project by project. There should be a larger sense of, you know, in terms of budgetary things, in terms of prioritization, in terms of working with particular staff, okay? That there's a whole element to that. Maybe, Cheryl, you can appreciate that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Charity, this is not just this project, that project, and if it's a question about how it's been scheduled, which Ted just alluded to, that's easily cured. You get it out of that slot, okay? It's not so difficult.
Right. It means, okay, it's going to have to interfere with land use, and I can't have that.
No, it doesn't mean that.
Interfere with
whatever. Okay, no. It could be like the second one, whatever it is. That's all curable, okay? So, and because these are big ticket items, as I mentioned last time, I think that the, you know, as was pointed out in the thing, we, all these things that require money, in essence, go between two committees. I don't see any... This is a little different than the other ones, okay, that the other two committees. This is something that does move from time to time. It isn't just, you know, ad hoc in that sense. This is like a committee that has, you know, a specific mission, works with specific city staff, should gain an expertise, should have a larger picture that's involved with what we want to do with a total program, not just project to project, should gain, and so for those reasons, I think it has to be perfected. I'm not satisfied and haven't been exactly with the way it has been, but I think we can cure and hone it a little better. So the effort is right. I mean, it's right to look at it and do something better, but I'm not really on board necessarily with this change.
President Lennon and then Alderman Fishman.
I'll defer to Alderman here.
Okay, Alderman Fishman.
You were saying that they have a better idea of the whole program. Does that mean that you know, the open space housing and historic, so that if you get too much of an imbalance with historic, you know, you want to kind of close that down a little bit and move it up? Now, wouldn't the citizen body have kind of done that initial clearance?
In theory.
Okay. All right, so can I do a second point?
But in the end, Mitch, there's X amount of money, okay, and we're the ones who appropriate it, okay? They don't know when they move something over whether it's going to be appropriated or not.
Okay. So So my concern, and I'll use the 116th item as an example. So my concern, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but my concern is that a 116th item, it came out of CPC, it came out of finance.
Referred back to finance.
And the neighborhood kind of didn't play a role until the end. And I guess I interpreted that there was sort of a flaw in the citizen part of the process, not necessarily in our process, but in the citizen part. And I guess I worry that if we're going to dilute it into the different committees as appropriate, maybe two committees, that ability to catch it at that point in a public hearing or the citizens going in front of programs and services or in front of planning zoning, maybe even more difficult. So I guess Alderman Lana, President Lana, what I'm thinking is that as part of that one, it seems to me you need something where you have to assure public hearings at the citizen level. There has to be more of a review at that point. And then, maybe I would feel more comfortable, getting rid of it and then diluting the committees. But at this point, without having that part in process, it gets me very nervous. It gets me very nervous because of the fact that at least the Community Preservation Committee and the Alderman, they understand, they know what's going on. They've been, interacting with the two. And as I say, on 116 Dedham, I think we had a better shot because they were in place.
President Lennon, Alderman Lappin, and then Alderman Linsky.
I'll try to address them in reverse order. So in terms of Alderman Fishman, your concerns is that really all we've done in this proposal is shift, we didn't go as far as we wanted to. We heard the concerns last time. And what we've done is shifted from, basically one board committee to another. I mean, we don't envision that the process would change much more. I think I heard you say that your concern was that there isn't a public hearing at the citizen level, which we can't address in our rules. That's part of the issue there. But essentially, really, what we've done is try to have the same process done on the board level. We've just, tried to tweak the steps.
The chair always has the discretion to take public comment. That's
right. So in terms of, like your issue, as you had said, with the Dedham Street project, absolutely. My sense would be that it would still have, its due diligence on the board level. It's just being done in a different fashion. The other thing with the community preservation, from what I've seen, and I mentioned at the last meeting, was that, applications are getting few and far between. They've just extended their application period out, I think, another 6 months, which means applications haven't been submitted in a year and a half, I think.
Well, either that or they haven't met whatever the standards are.
Yeah, but I saw an applicant. I have a particular group in Newton Corner that's been working on a proposal for quite some time, and now they're saying, well, they've extended it out from October all the way out to July of next year now, because I would have to think that part of the reason is just that they're just not getting, funding has been cut, matching has been cut. I mean, the citizens are still paying the same amount into it, but the match has been cut, and they're just not as many organized applications in the city. So it's not like we're talking about a huge amount of docket items that are coming through, A. B, I want to understand, Alderman Linsky, a little bit more about, what you're saying in terms of, let me just finish, in terms of what you're saying, about the whole programmatic aspect and the follow-up, which I think could be done quarterly in some substantive committee to have Alice come in and talk about the status of where, these three projects that we're working on, where they are, where other projects that haven't been finished, where they stand. It's something that could be put in writing, that could be submitted to the board, that if people have a question they want to follow up, they can, just like Dave Wilkinson does with every piece of financial information in this city. And I don't see people dragging him back into finance every quarter when the stuff that he's putting out is really, really important. So, you know, and then in terms of, like, additionally, more on the programmatic side, I mean, we have Alice come in during budget season to do the CPA admin, and it's like literally she does a jog around the table and she's out the door, from what I can recollect. I mean, we don't, what, how much programmatic stuff are we to be talking
about? I'm just saying, I'm not.
Go ahead, Alderman.
Okay.
Respond.
I'm sorry. I think the point is, I think, unlike some of the others, and as we started this discussion, it just became obvious to me that we should recognize there, first of all, the CPC drafts an annual plan and report, okay? They give it to someone. When I was chair, we actually tried to have periodic meetings so that we continued some kind of dialogue and got a better sense from each other, because we weren't always able to, you know, make their meetings, etc. Okay. So, you know, and then when I talked about the, you know, the larger programmatic aspect, two things. One, you know, there's a pool of money, and I think someone's got to look and prioritize it. And you've just given an example where, over time, yeah, the low-lying fruit, okay, has been plucked to some extent, and the stuff that we're dealing with now is a little higher up, okay. That's the way we anticipate it, and that's perfectly fine. But that may change. You know, you never know. There could be a whole range of things that come in. So. I guess I look at honing this a little bit, because these are, you know, big ticket items. It's a fair amount of money. Plus, and I think Mitch was kind of talking about this a little bit, and that is, you know, most of the work is that stuff that needs oversight going past. You just said, well, Alice can be called into this. If we divvied it up, as was being suggested, she'd be reporting back in serious projects between 5 or 6 different committees, possibly, with no one making sense of the whole of it. I'm just saying, if we did it that way, instead of just one single committee that says, you know what, we want to look back because over the past 2 years, and we've approved things, you know, we got a sense that certain things have been done. We need to be updated, because some of the projects aren't done.
Why can't we, as we've done with a number of different things over this term, we could set aside a night and have Alice in, and we could spend the whole night talking about, you know, on an off night of the board, once a quarter, twice a year, once a year, go over the annual plan, like we've done with, you know, comprehensive plan or long range something. It's like, I don't understand why we have to have
a committee
every month to have her come in and, you know, just to say, let's meet for 20 minutes to talk about the annual plan. I mean, I think there's ways around. I think there's ways around it. I just don't think that the way to do that is to keep the current process as we have it. I think we're trying to take some steps to make it better. And there are also some ways to make it better that necessarily don't have to be part of the board rules, if that makes sense.
Alderman Lampkin.
Okay. I can understand what Alderman Lindsay's talking about as the previous chair of that committee, especially at the beginning when you know, it was so new, when we didn't know anything really about the community preservation, and we had to learn how to deal with the CPC, and there were a lot of issues, and it took us a while to figure it out. But what I've noticed is when there's a new board and there's a new committee, like this year, there's a new committee. What happens is Alice comes in. First of all, the committees these would refer to, I think there are really only two committees that they'd be referred to. But Alice comes in at the beginning of every term and goes through the bucket, you know, with the and you know how what percentage, and explains things and tells us how much money we have and what our matches might be this year, and you know what she thinks is coming up for the potential project. And I thought about that, but this term there were a lot of new people on the committee, and she explained everything, and everybody got up to speed immediately. Now, when Alderman Fishman mentioned
Denham Street,
and the issue that happened there, one of the things we realized is that the CPC does not have to, they
they have a public hearing, but they don't have to notify anyone. That was the issue.
Well, no. They have it at the beginning of the year. They don't allow public comment as they finally get around to doing...
On this item.
Yeah. Well, no, they did do a public hearing on it at the very beginning of the year.
At the beginning, before they had no other opportunity. But they didn't notify the abutters.
Yeah. Well,
that was in this particular case. They didn't notify the abutters. And our committee said, okay, you got to notify abutters.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that. And if that came before, say, programs and services, the alderman on that committee would have made the same judgment. They would have said, you didn't, you know? They would have said, you had a public hearing, but you didn't notify anybody. So I really think that these things will be caught by, but I understand what you're saying, because they're, you know, we were looking at the big picture, but I really think that Alice coming before, you know, those committees or the board, we could get the same thing done. And then I think that's it.
But the point is that there's ownership. It's not just that it's project by project. If you're thinking of divvying it up, it's another thing. Then those committees have to take ownership. Someone's got to.
Right. And that's what they will do. They'll have the Alice presentation. And I like Scott, President Lennon's idea about periodic, twice a year, a night of community preservation. Here's what we are. Here's what we're expecting for that. For the other eight people who haven't had the Alice presentation. So I think there's a way we can do it.
Alderman Baker, then Alderman Rice, then Alderman Yates.
Thank you. I just want to stipulate for the record that I'm back from the dead. I needed something.
I had your pajamas on, everything was all set.
And all of a sudden you're back.
Well, because I remember there was chocolate downstairs. That's it.
How'd you get in?
Word Alderman ever done. That's it.
The question I'm
interested in Alderman Linsky's perspective about this, and I guess I would ask the president, if this was a committee that didn't have a regular meeting night as such, but was able to meet, as we've talked about, real property reuse, when there's actual work for it to do, would that solve the problem? I was sympathetic to the idea of distributing the work around, but I'm interested in the idea of the coherence that the committee has developed over time. The problem is there's not much for it to do now. And so I can understand not having it be a standing committee of the board, but there is some merit to the real property reuse model, it seems to me, that you've evolved for this situation, because there is, in fact, no activity in real property reuse unless something is actually declared surplus. We're right in the same situation now with community preservation, but having some coherent oversight of the program, I'm sensitive to that question, because I think that was one of the reasons we created it to begin with. But having it as a separate committee might not be as efficient as just doing what Steve has indicated, but providing a separate night for it like you do with a special committee does. And then if it meets, it meets. Because what you're describing is almost the same thing. We have community preservation night at the Pops, you know, and here we are. So I guess I would ask whether you'd be willing to consider that option. Aren't you glad I came back?
I only say that in fairness because rather than having to try to, you know, invoke it and bring it up, and now we're going to meet. This way, if an application gets passed by the citizen committee, comes to the board, we send it right to a committee, let's discuss it, let's do it the right way, you know, comes out of that committee, send it to finance, have them look at it, just like we're doing now. But, you know, I have faith in this board. I have faith in our standing committees to get the work done and get the work done right. I don't see the need to you know, whoever made the suggestion earlier, maybe it was Alderman Linsky, you know, start really going down all this ad hoc, less standing committee road, and, you know, where are we going? I think there needs to be a line drawn. I think this committee can be eliminated. I think this work can be more efficiently done in committees than we already have. So,
Alderman Rice. Then Alderman Yates, then Alderman Hesse-Hahn.
You mentioned earlier, Scott, but can a board member be on the Citizens Community Preservation Committee?
No.
No, okay.
Well, that was, again, it was our original proposal until we got browbeat here in the last... We heard everyone,
The clerk tasered him.
It was ugly. But at one point, I remember going, presenting in community preservation, and there used to be a board member at the meetings kind of giving feedback about what the board would be looking for as it left the Citizens Committee.
We were trying to find a mechanism to have a liaison to do that, but it was, we heard last time here that people weren't.
But anybody can monitor it, maybe someone from,
Okay. Oh, Steve
Linsky. You're going to have time on your hands, so it's...
Okay, that's my question.
We tried to find the continuity, but it just didn't seem as if it was going to work. Okay. Or support it, to be honest with you. So.
Alderman Yates.
On the issue of 116 Devon Street as an example, pro or con on the thing, that basically I agree with the Vice President that I think... well, maybe she didn't say this part, but the CCP committee of the board got snookered. I remember abstaining and thinking, gee, this is what I heard, but if no one else thinks it, I guess I'm not going to do anything about it. And then it bubbled up from Alderman Fishman, among others, that, this is really out of line, and we should do something different. And I think that would probably work out pretty much the same if it was coming to this committee or some other standing committee. So the avoiding of being steamrolled by the CPC, I don't think cuts much either way. And I think in terms of developing collective monitoring the program in general, I think financially it makes sense for finance to keep track of those accounts as it keeps track of the other accounts. And I think that is a perfectly legitimate power of finance. I'm concerned about finance that back in the days when, in Lyle's previous term on the board before he and I joined in 1987, I think there was concern that finance was actually too powerful, and that I think that's where the double referrals of items came. And I'd be hesitant about that, but I think finance, keeping track of, are you at your right percentages, do you have too much in one category or another, are you overspending, God help us. I think Alice could talk to them, and on that score, I think it's fine. The part that Steve raises that I think still is troubling me is the issue of the general oversight, and I think it's really, only in retrospect, really obvious that a lot of this money is just sitting there because other than the city clerk, most of the departments don't have the capacity to initiate projects and to oversee them. Maybe that'll change with the new position that you told me about. That was in what department?
The project manager in public buildings is supposed to take over CPC projects.
Okay, well, for the ones that actually fit CPC, that might fit public buildings, but there are others that are in other people's jurisdiction, and frankly, I don't think we've done a bang-up job from the operating departments. I don't know which way that cuts, whether or not the substantive committees versus the standalone. So I'm sort of ambivalent now, but I appreciate the effort that the President and Vice President made to hear what was said at the last meeting. And I don't have a problem with complaining to an individual through an individual committee that so-and-so project hasn't moved in 3 years, so what's up there?
And that committee can bring them in like we do.
Yeah. Alderman
Hesse-Hahn, then Alderman Baker.
Okay, well, I don't want to repeat the points people have already made. I mean, this is starting to sound like some of the arguments for real property reuse, which I think is a committee that finally, was created because there's a huge demand for it. And then as the demand ceased, it started searching around for things to do. I'm not accusing the CCP of doing that, but I think one of my concerns has always been that we ought to be spreading some of the information rather than concentrating it when it comes to the CPA funding. One of the things Alderman Albright and I discussed, both of whom, by the way, voted for Dedham Street, so not for nothing. But we are both concerned that one of the problems is that most of the board, particularly with respect to affordable housing, which is one of the things that CPA funds are often used for, don't understand how it's funded, don't understand how it works, don't understand, you know, why it's so expensive to do, don't understand why delay is a problem. I think the more people on the board who are educated about it, the better off we're all going to be, because it ends up being a re-education process every time. And I'm just using affordable housing as an example, because that's one that Susan and I have been talking about. But the same might be true of an open space thing or a conservation type item. Whatever it is, I think having as many people on the board aware of it and involved in it, which is why I support having both a substantive committee and the finance committee, not that it's not substantive, but finance and another committee look at these projects, I think is a great idea. I think keeping either as an ad hoc committee, which is how, by the way, the CCP started out, it was an ad hoc committee. It became permanent at some point because we saw there was a whole lot of things coming down the line. Every single month we were doing two or three items, sometimes four. That it's slowed to a trickle, and frankly I think the spigot's pretty much closed because there's just not as many projects coming in. Again, kind of like real property reuse in that sense, there just isn't the same demand for it. I'd rather see as many people on the board involved in understanding these projects and getting it in front of their committee so that they understand it. I'm not worried about the problem that Alderman Fishman raises, because I really do think every single chair has the discretion, as Alderman Albright did, to take public comment. Requiring public hearings, I mean, I think you get into a whole big issue, but allowing public comment doesn't bother me at all. I think that's the more public comment we get on items that obviously are difficult for some people is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So if it's going to be controversial, let's give people an opportunity to talk about it. But that's not insuperable. The administrative, programmatic part of it, I mean, frankly, we get a report, and, you know, over time the report gets formulaic. This is how much money we have in each pot. This is what we're thinking of spending it on. We've got this much to spend. We've got this many projects coming down the line. Thank you very much. You know, 5 minutes later, Alice is out of the room. Well, no, she's not usually. If there's another project, that's usually when she comes in to do it. But it's there's no reason I don't think that can't be done in finance or in a regularly scheduled or periodic meetings.
We could organize.
So I mean, I really don't think that this is a committee that we need anymore. I think that having other committees that can gain some expertise in whatever the project's going to be, the four areas, is a perfectly fine way to do it.
I don't remember. Is it Alderman Baker and Alderman Lennon? Did you want to?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to get my sugar balance. Sugar balance, right.
Yeah. I want to make sure the recorder picked that up.
Never mind. Let me ask a couple of questions of the process. The one thing that we have with this committee is, I think, a distinction in the conversation between a specific grant which goes someplace, and it's worth thinking a minute about where it would go, versus what I would call programmatic and budgetary oversight. I would actually put the programmatic and budgetary oversight probably in a committee like zoning and planning, or something like that, and have it, because that's, I don't know whether that's, it sort of sounds like Alderman Yates's item anyway. But the specific projects would go to the different committees under this model. And I don't know whether the president would be sympathetic to that, because you're really trying to, right now, the way the allocation of work committees always goes, the budget goes to the same committee. But in this case, I do think there is a point that Alderman Linsky's made to have somebody just sort of be regularly available to think about what's going on in that committee in a programmatic sense, not just whether the funds are there, that's a finance question, but how it's working. So that's one thing that occurs to me as a way to respond to Alderman Linsky's concern, which I think is a legitimate one, that you have some expertise. The question of where the items go, though, I think is an interesting one. If, for example, affordable housing projects. Housing is in programs and services. Would it come to programs and services, or would it go to land use? Denham Street was primarily not a question around, it wasn't a question around the housing part of it. It was a question around the land use impacts, as I recall it. And that gets to an interesting issue of, you know, which committee is going to be the best committee to hear that kind of issue if there is a concern. There are people on the committee.
CPA, comprehensive permit. We've got one.
Right, I understand. But I'm just trying to figure out the allocation of the project and how that plays out. At least if you still retain the Community Preservation Committee, it was on a night where all aldermen could come, everybody could come and raise whatever issues they want about it. And now, land use has the advantage specifically because it meets on a separate night, not the fourth Tuesday yet, but still, it's got other nights.
Hope springs eternal.
I know. But the other projects are going to meet at times when other committees meet. So I guess what I'm getting around to asking the president is, do you have a sense of when the referrals go, how the various different aspects of the community preservation would be referred? I know I'm sympathetic to the idea of a substantive committee and the finance committee. That's the model we've talked about last time, which is the mayor's, just like we do with anything else. But I would just be curious to know if you had a sense that housing would go to programs and services or land use, or would...
Why would it go to land use?
Well, because...
We don't have enough to do now.
Originally, what we had talked about was...
I just need to understand the impact.
Originally, our proposal was to just go right from citizen to finance.
No, I understand.
I just want to try to be clear. Okay. It was amended earlier this evening after much discussion last time. What we had talked about was going to propose that open space and or recreation items would go to programs and services. Historic preservation and housing would go to ZAP. Okay. Can I just finish, please? Sorry. And what I explained earlier this evening was that we've gotten some feedback not to pigeonhole ourselves to specific committees, but to have, because there's so few applications and so far and few between, that it could be left to the discretion of designation of the president to assign it with the clerk's office to a substantive committee, depending on what the application is. Because if something were to come in, let's just say, I can't think of a good example at this late hour, that didn't fall into one of those two committees, you're given the president the discretion to send it to a substantive committee where they feel that it would be best.
Historic preservation of the clerk's archives could go to programs and services because we have the clerk, or it could go someplace else.
That's what we are now proposing.
I'm sorry. My apologies. That obviously occurred while I was out getting chocolate.
Yeah. Hopefully you got it.
President Lennon.
If that were the case, how do you feel about the budget issue?
In terms of the budget issue, yeah, I haven't thought about just hearing that for the first time. It could go to Zach. We could go somewhere to be determined. I just don't have it determined right now. Yeah. But I don't have a problem or whomever trying to figure out what that would be.
Well, I would be sympathetic then if you were willing to do that. I think it makes it easier to have the president make the discretion on the substantive issues, but have at least a regular home for the programmatic conversation.
Where do you suggest that would be?
Zach.
Sounds good.
Are you agreeing to
that? Yeah.
It's sour? Yeah, pretty much agreeing.
My committee says it's getting the weapon corner.
It's one more piece of chocolate, I got.
Carl turns into a pumpkin. So
President Lennon, you were going to... You wanted to be recognized. I gave you a dirty look. Did you say what you needed?
I said it. What I just talked about.
Is there any motion?
Is there a motion?
Oh, no, you're right. I apologize.
Oh.
Real brief.
Oh,
I apologize.
Right.
Just on the affordable housing and the education to board. Alderman Albright has talked about having a separate night to bring in some folks or that's their background expertise to have a Affordable Housing 101 for the board.
Yeah.
And what I explained was I just don't know if we'd be able to pull it all together by the end of the year, so maybe it's something we could do for the next term. Yeah.
That's good. A long-range planning committee.
So. Excellent. Whatever. There were things I agreed. You can do many different ways, and that's why I'll move it.
Motion to approve made by Alderman Hess Mahan. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
This allows the president to refer the item to a substantive committee, and the budget go to
Right now,
he'll work that out.
You're right.
Okay, all those in approving, Alderman Fishman, Alderman Farrell, Alderman Rice, Alderman Blazer, Alderman Hesmahan, Alderman Sangiello, and Alderman Baker. All those opposed? Alderman Linsky. All those abstaining. Oh, was that everybody? That was everybody.
Yes.
Okay, I am really tired. I think that's all that we have.
Someone wants to go home and babysit?
I do. I did that duty for 6 years.
Everyone, thank you for your diligence. Whatever you fell down on this, I think... No, but I'm being serious.
Okay.
Wherever you fell on the items, I think that it was a great discussion.
No, it's...
I thought you were going to...